Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Is she looking at me now?
No.
How about now? Is she looking over here now?
No.
What about now? Is she looking now?
No, she's not looking at you, dude. Will you quit asking me if she's looking at you? She hasn't looked at you. Wait, she just looked.
See what I'm saying, man?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ow! What the hell are you kicking me for? Fine, I'll ask her. You want me to ask her, ma'am? Where do the high school girls hang out around here?
Paul Perillo.
Put the scotch on the rocks. Please, any scotch will do. As long as it's not a blend, of course. Single malt. Glenlivet, Glenfiddich, perhaps. Maybe a Glengow. Any Glen.
And Andy. And Andy?
Look, we're going to spend half the night looking for this one party, and you're going to say it sucks, and we're all going to leave, and then we'll go look for this other party. But all the parties and all the bars, they all suck. I spent half the night talking to some girl who's looking around the room to see if there's somebody else who's more important she should be talking to. And it's like I'm supposed to be all happy because she's wearing a backpack.
Andy Hart.
You know, and half of them are just nasty skanks who wouldn't be nothing except they're surrounded by a bunch of drunken, horny a**s. I'm not going to be one of those a**s.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
When you go up to talk to her, man, I don't want you to be the guy in the PG-13 movie everyone's really hoping makes it happen. I want you to be like the guy in the rated R movie, you know? The guy you're not sure whether or not you like yet. You're not sure where he's coming from, okay? You're a bad man. You're a bad man. You're a bad man.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You know what, big boy? You're grown up. You're grown up. Yeah, I did that. Because you're grown up and you're grown up and you're grown up.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang is all here, and I promise we're going to get to your emails today. That was unbelievable Tuesday.
Liar.
No.
No, I promise we're going to get to some.
Yeah, we couldn't hear that, Andy.
We got a lot. Andy's burping. Paul's got a pile of French fries in front of him the size of Mount Wachusett. I can't believe that. Is that just one order of fries? Or double order?
I guess. I ordered chicken fingers and fries.
Holy mackerel. Even Eric's fries. Eating a calzone today. Unbelievable.
All thanks to?
Who?
John Rook.
Nick Saban, sort of.
John Rook.
Well, actually, it's all thanks to Colt McCoy for being a pansy and bowing out of the championship.
We have a little message from Mr. Rook, if you guys are interested.
Well, why don't we hear it?
Hey, guys. Enjoy lunch on me, you rat bastards. $71 for lunch? What the hell are you eating? Filet mignon? And by the way, I blame myself for Texas's loss in the game because every time I've ever laid any kind of a wager down on the Longhorns, I've always lost. And sure enough, lost this one too. So I blame myself for the loss. Colt McCoy's absence from the lineup notwithstanding. And I actually think that they did a pretty representative job of coming back even without him in the game. So enjoy lunch on me. And by the way, strippers, you're still a jerk.
All right, that's John Rook. He's right. They did do an admirable job even without him. But he lost, and we won. We get lunch. Thanks, John.
And he's a man of his word because he paid up.
All right, Web Radio
and Andy ordered all kinds of extra stuff, though, evidently, and ran up the bill.
No, I didn't. Yeah,
I ordered dessert. Cookies look really good.
See, that's really bad.
Calzone and a cookie.
You know, that's really bad when you
take
advantage.
Yeah, like you wouldn't have done that if we were in San Diego on Saturday night.
I wouldn't. I don't do that.
And you guys are going to be margarita, top shelf.
I'm not that type of person. I really am not.
You and Paul are going to be men of your word when preseason rolls around, right?
Preseason will roll around. I don't know if you guys will be here, but we'll definitely have preseason.
I'll do it anytime you guys want. If you don't want to wait till preseason, that's fine, too.
No, but we agreed that it would involve.
I know. That was our original agreement, but I'm just letting you know.
But are you guys going to do that kind of jerky thing? You know,
hey, jerky.
What jerky thing?
You know, order.
Well, you've seen me eat. No. You've seen me eat on a Saturday night. What could I possibly order more? I order an appetizer, a meal, and a dessert, and beers.
Right.
There's nothing else to add.
What else are we going
to
add?
Whatever.
But that's what I'll be ordering.
I'm a man of my word. I never would welch on a bet.
All right.
Ever.
Good.
All right. Webradiopatriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. And since we last talk with everyone. There have been a couple transactions. Patriots signed a bunch of people. You know,
practice squad guys.
Practice squad guys.
A bunch of people.
You know, nothing major. Junior Seau announced his retirement via the AP.
Sort of.
Was that an AP report?
No, he was on Showtime.
Oh, Showtime.
With Chris Collinsworth.
Okay.
And Collinsworth broached the subject, and he said, yeah, that was probably my last game. And then Collinsworth said, what do you mean probably? And he's like, no, that was it. That was my last game.
I should think so. I mean.
Yeah, he turns 41 on Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's been a good career.
So that's kind of the personnel news since.
Well, also, a couple other side notes. Romeo and Charlie are officially in Kansas City, so we don't have to broach that topic.
You know, I was really hoping, because I read a report, you know, Cornell going to Kansas City. Then I read, I don't know if it was that morning or late night. Yeah, it hit bogged down. I'm like, oh, I hope that it's the Patriots that, you know, look, this isn't anything about Dean Pease, but I think that Romeo has a certain communication line with players, chemistry with players. I remember when he was here, players saying they really wanted to play for Romeo. And even when he was a head coach at Cleveland, I remember guys saying, we want to play for Romeo. You know, guys really like him. And, you know, that's part of the battle, is wanting to perform for the guy that's telling you what to do. And, you know, I was hoping that, hey, you know, maybe they're going after Romeo. But, maybe they were, but they didn't get him.
Right.
Because he went to Kansas City. So that's too bad. Weiss, I don't have any interest in.
Oh, I don't really think Weiss had much interest in coming here. I think there might have been a chance for Cornell. I thought that was a more realistic opportunity. And I agree with both you and Andy, who have talked about this a lot. I really think that communication might have been really beneficial. And to have Pease with them, I didn't want to necessarily throw Pease out. Let Pease still be the defensive coordinator. Just let's add Romeo Cornell to the mix.
Right.
Assistant head coach, whatever.
Right.
I just think that makes you stronger.
Yeah,
and that seems to be the tone a lot of fans are taking. I put up a thing on the blog yesterday about various guys, players, and coaches you might want to see back or gone. And for the coaches, a lot of them are saying, keep them all, but add. They need more help. There weren't a lot of, you know, some people wanted to get rid of a bunch of people, O'Brien, Scott O'Brien, Bill O'Brien. But a lot of people seem to think, keep it, but add to it. Maybe bring in a veteran defensive guy or something like that. So that's kind of the tone it seems to be swaying towards.
Yep. Because definitely leadership was an issue and something they have to address. There's a lot of young guys on the defense, and the older guys aren't necessarily the leadership vocal guys. So, you know, it's something they'll have to address in the offseason. Keep it on that theme of people with Patriots ties. Pete Carroll, I guess, had his opening press conference for Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I didn't see it.
That was, I think, while we were on the air the other day.
I didn't see it. I didn't hear it. But I guess they had a helmet there, and he reached over and put it on.
Well, no, he pretended to.
He was going to put it on.
You know, he's a gimmick. He's always going to be a joke.
Yeah.
He's going to be a joke there, too. Although,
good word.
Good move by him signing Alex Gibbs on the offensive line.
Yep.
I don't know about that guy, but everybody seems to think he's great. So,
we like call. See, Joe Bugle retired yesterday?
Yeah.
He's a classic.
I didn't know he was still working.
He referred to himself as Bugs.
I didn't realize
he was
still there,
time for the Bugs to call it a career or something like that.
That's what he said?
Yeah.
And, Fred, we've started to take note of ideas, thoughts surrounding the CBA and the uncapped year. And Bert Breer had a very good point on his blog on Boston.com. For restricted free agents, which in all likelihood Steven Gostkowski and Logan Mankins will be, the four tenders, the lowest tender, which is just over $1 million, the compensation as a restricted free agent if they go elsewhere is original draft status. So basically, you have the protection of a first-round pick with a guy like Mankins, and you only have to pay him $1 million if you want a low tender.
Mm.
That's one of those things where it could get dicey. You can do it. It's the rules are laid out in front of you,
right?
But I'm not sure that's a great way to go.
You know, this is going to be a really, really interesting offseason, but I'm putting a warning out there for Patriots fans. I think we're going to have a thick skin. And because I think the Patriots, there's a lot of maneuvering and leveraging that are on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And I think both sides, and I'm talking about players and management, are going to take advantage of. And as fans, we're going to have a thick skin and understand that this is just business, that they're using the tools that have been made available because of these new rules, and that it's nothing more than that. Now, what the effects of that are, you know, again, I don't know what it'll be, but I think we're going to see a lot of that.
And it's going to be about players taking it personal, too.
Yeah.
I mean, if Mankins does that, sure, he's got to stay, but does that sour his relationship with the team? And he says, when I can get out, I'm out of here.
Right.
You know, if he takes it personally. The other one we just talked about is...
Can I say something about that before you get on
to
the
next Paul. One? Sure, Paul. Try to use your own dialect.
I was told yesterday...
Clean, please.
I will definitely do my best not to swear today,
poop bum,
as I have done two of the last three shows. Someone said yesterday about the Mankins thing with the Breer, because I mentioned that yesterday, and I credited Bert Breer for that item on his blog.
It's good in case it's wrong.
Well, that was part of the reason, but I hadn't seen that anywhere, so I wanted to give it to someone that I did see it from, and I wanted to give him credit. But some of the guys on EEI, Glenn specifically, was reading something on about the tenders and the prices of the tenders, and there was something that he said about the lowest one when, you know, it's the draft pick, the correlating draft pick, the highest it can be is a second-round pick. So maybe that prevents a team from doing that, something like that. Now, I don't know if that's accurate. I don't know what he was reading from, and we kind of moved topics and didn't get a chance to stick on it. So that's something we need to look up.
Well, our next issue of PFW is February 9th. And in that issue, we're going to have, and we're going to get all this for you, we're going to have all the rules, you know, not everyone, but the significant rules that are surrounding this uncapped year. So that it'll be a primer both for us and for all our readers to understand what are all the things that teams can and can't do and players can and can't do during this uncapped year, if in fact they have one, which it
right.
really looks like they are going to.
You know, well, Andy said, Andy said something just a second ago that struck a nerve with me a little bit was, and you too, Fred.
There's a shock.
No. I mean, as far as this whole, you said fans need to have a thick skin this offseason because of, you know, things that are going to happen, and it's just a business. But then Andy said, you know, what if a guy like Mankins, you know, is forced to come back and sort of, you know, how's he going to react to the way business was done? Well, it sounds like, and even guys like Wilfork and, you know, after the game, the way they were talking, it sounds like they were already taking it personally.
I would.
And even though they're saying it's just a business, they seem to kind of act like it's not just a business, that right. they are taking it personally.
Yeah, but they also need to look at their fellow players and other teams because it's going to happen to them too.
Right.
So it's not going to be just the Patriots doing this.
But the only
all teams are going to be using these mechanisms.
The only person it's personal to is you, the person.
No, I understand.
You don't give a rat's ass about the guard on the Jaguars.
Yeah, but
you care about yourself.
But my point is, when they say it's just a business, it's really not. It's personal to them too. They. Yeah. I've never seen a case where a guy, not that I can think of off the top of my head, that in a guy in that situation hasn't taken it personally.
Well, the thing is, they always say, you know, we realize it's just a business when they're talking about other people. But then, like you said, when it's about them, then it's different.
No, but Eric is right. Whenever you hear guys say, well, it's once again, we're reminded that it's a business, that means they're mad.
Right.
That means they're upset about something relating to them, their own personal situation. Eric is right.
Wilfork was right. I mean, he didn't say it was just a business until he said he talked to other people around the league and friends and had to be reminded it's just a business. It is a business. And he admits that he wasn't treating it like a business when he showed up for everything he was supposed to. If it's a business, he needs to do his hard line stance of it's a business. And that was last summer when he could have done that and did not. So it becomes personal, and I have no problem with that. I mean, until you're in that situation, you don't know how you'd react.
Yep.
I mean, I said to Paul, a guy like, you know, Wilfork is painted as publicly he's been the perfect Patriot because he lived up to his contract. He said all the right things. I'm committed to my. But Logan Mankins is the same kind of thing. He's played in every game. He's never been hurt. He shows up. He's your best lineman. You know, he doesn't talk about it as much, but he's done everything you could have asked of him and more. And if he gets treated with the $1 million because this one year they can loophole him in, I think that'll be taken personally. And especially with him, I said to Paul, he's liable to see Bill in the hallway and punch him in the nuts or something, because that's how Mankins deals with things.
And put that goofy smile on.
Yeah, that goofy smirk on. Yeah. But another one of those, Fred, a guy people have posed as a potential cut because it's an uncapped year, is Matt Light. And I said to Paul, one of the issues the players are going to face is, because there's no salary cap, a guy like Matt Light could get cut August 31st or September 1st. Because he's an insurance policy. You're not paying him. You're only paying him his training camp pay. You keep him around as long as possible just in case Vollmer blows out his knee in the preseason. Whereas in previous years, you had a cap, a budget, you know, you wanted to go sign a linebacker, so you need that $2 million or whatever that was light salary on the all that.
4.7.
Yeah, but whatever the number is.
But it's a great point.
This year, you just wait until the end, and then you say, good luck finding a job in September.
That's true.
That's going to be personal. That's going to piss people off.
Right. You always could get rid of that guy whenever you wanted, but Andy makes a great point. The earlier you got rid of him, the more time you had to use the money that you saved by getting rid of him.
And
now you don't have to worry about that.
And again, players are going to take this personally. But at the end of the day, even this, even the rules surrounding the uncapped year were collectively bargained.
Right,
they were agreed on by both sides,
and no one thought they'd come.
Absolutely,
I think that's, that's why they were agreed upon. Because nobody thought they would come to this.
And I think that's why there's so many poison pills on both sides. There's bad things about the uncapped year on both sides.
Mm-hmm. It seems to me though that the managements are the ones that would get hurt least in an uncapped year.
Well,
the way it's turning out, I think. I don't know. But, again, I want to get those rules down so that we can learn, but also for the readers, and that'll be in the February 9th issue, a primer on the rules for the uncapped year. I think that'll be good reading and good, you know, keep it with you when you read all this other stuff about contracts and why teams are doing what they're doing. We'll need to keep in mind these rules.
Yeah, I'm not sure it'll be good reading, but it's good information.
Well, information.
Yeah.
I do agree with you. I think that if you look at the 4 to 6 year difference for free agency,
that's huge.
That's a huge thing for management. But the players that are free agents have a potential to sign bigger contracts that are going to make it harder for teams to match and stay with, you know, stay up with the
If you are a true free agent, this is a good time to be it now.
But are they going to be one-year deals?
Yeah.
1-2-year deals? I mean, are you signing a guy just for this next season and then revisit it the following year?
And how does that affect
future
franchise numbers?
Well, if you're a team, can you front-load it so that the bulk of the money comes in this uncapped year and then the other years are manageable?
Of course.
And if I'm a player, I'm happy with that because they're always getting screwed with the backloading.
Right, you want your
now
money
I
right away.
Now I have a chance to get it right away.
And if something happens to you,
if they cut me later, well, I already made
my 10. But what does
that
do to the franchise number the next year?
What's
now
that?
The top 5 average salaries include $40 million contracts for 3 guys.
Well, that's going to be interesting because the owners are going to, I think, together have to figure out how do we keep teams from, you know, who really took advantage of this uncapped year from, you know, taking advantage of the other teams. You know what I mean? If Jerry Jones decides to go crazy and then they get together with the union and they come up with the new CBA.
Collusion?
What?
Isn't that collusion?
No, I don't think so because it's a collective. You know, they're all in the room together with the players' union. You know, they're going to agree on this together.
Yeah, but if they talk Jerry Jones out of spending money on players,
no. What I'm saying is, there's going to be a CBA at some point after this uncapped year. Now that CBA can either really penalize somebody who overspent, or there'll be some grandfather clause in it.
But it's not fair if the majority of the owners who didn't overspend specifically say we need to put some provisions in here that make it penalize those teams that took it. You can't do that.
And if you tell the guy in advance we're going to put penalties in that new CBA, to me that's collusion. You're preventing him. You're preventing him from paying players.
Now, what I think you'll see happen, and I don't have any inside information on this, but I think you'll see something like a tiered system where once they get into the uncapped year, they're not just going to say, okay, we're going from the uncapped year right to the CBA. I think it'll probably be a gradual thing where they might say, in 3 years, you have to be back in compliance with the salary cap the way you always were.
That could be.
You know, so that way a team that finds itself in dire straits has some time to figure out how they want to get back in compliance.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah,
you know, 2 years or whatever.
A grace period.
Yeah, lots like what Andy said with the grandfather, you know, something has to be. Yep. You can't just say 4 or 5 teams did it this way and 4 or 5 teams did it the other way. We're going to reward one of them. You can't do that.
No, you can't.
This is going to be one of the most interesting off seasons we've had in
ever.
Maybe a generation.
No, ever. I think ever.
Well, I mean, the first year of free agency, what was that,
94?
Three, I believe. Right?
Yeah, it wasn't the same, though, but I understand what your point is.
And it was a new thing, but it was a new thing in writing. It was a new system.
Mm.
This is unknown.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No one knows what. Is it going to go back the same? Is it never going to be the same? Will it be kind of the same? No one knows how they're going to treat it.
Maybe since the merger then.
Well, since back then. And the other thing is that lawsuit that's already in Congress. I mean, in the Supreme Court.
The American
Court.
Needle?
Well, league is trying.
What's that, the apparel thing?
Yeah, the league is trying to, you know, let people know that that has nothing to do with the CBA.
No, I know, but the Supreme Court is already looking at your business model in general.
In general.
And if you go out and all of a sudden we're talking about these things where they're preventing Daniel Snyder from doing something, I think they're already sniffing around the bush. And if you do things that are shady, they're more likely to sniff them.
And it sounds like the way...
No, not that kind of bush.
What? No. I didn't.
Now, he was the immature one this
time. I was watching the 1975 playoffs between Dallas and Minnesota, so
typical.
I missed that one.
Loser.com over there.
The way I've been... I read a couple of articles about this thing, and it sounds like the way the case could decide whether or not the NFL, and by extension other professional leagues, are one single entity, or if they're 32 different ones, or however many in the different sports, operating as... unique things.
That's talking about selling T-shirts individually as opposed to having the Reebok brand.
Right.
Which could raise prices for the average fan.
Or it could lower them. You know?
Right.
It could go either way.
Well, it would. It would go both ways. A Patriots T-shirt could go up to 45, and a Jags T-shirt could go down to 6.
Right. Right. So it all depends. But, that's... I don't want to argue that case right here because
none of us are qualified.
Well, I don't understand.
We'll spend another 2 hours and not get to any emails. So
you couldn't possibly argue that for 2 hours with us because we don't know enough about it.
Oh, we could.
Oh, we'd be dead wrong in everything we argue.
Right, but we could
argue
it.
Yeah. Webradio at patriots.com.
A lot of emails.
Just 508-543-7482. On the phone right now is John in Dallas. John, how you doing?
Doing well, guys. How are you doing?
Great.
What's up?
So why even have an uncapped year if there's potentially future plans to return to a CBA or some type of cap situation? Why even
they did that to give some incentive to get
a deal done
before then.
Yeah.
Because an uncapped year, in theory, hurts both sides.
It was something that they wanted to do as a deterrent
to
avoid this situation altogether.
I think having an uncapped year is obviously a very good thing for the Patriots, right? Because we've been pretty fiscally responsible.
It doesn't matter.
So why does that help the Patriots?
Like the Washingtons of the world, I think, are not going to fare well in that uncapped year.
Why?
I don't quite understand that. I think if you're fiscally responsible, the cap helps you.
Because it gives you an edge against teams who overspend,
right?
And then
now the teams that overspend
their futures away
don't necessarily have any penalties for doing so.
If you're a team that overspends for big name players like Haynesworth, for example, and you've got no motivation to stay within a cap, and you could go crazy, couldn't you?
Yeah, right,
exactly.
So the uncapped year would
help
some
good players.
I mean, if you think they overspent for Haynesworth, for example, if you think they overspent for him, there's no penalty for that.
Right, but then if you have to return to a cap year the year following.
Well,
but that's not going to hurt you there either. He's already under the cap.
That's what we're talking about. I see what you're saying. If you go crazy in that 1 year and let's say you spend $300 million on players, then they institute a cap the next year and the cap is $200 million. Well, theoretically, you're $100 million over the cap. I see what you're saying. What Paul is saying, and I kind of agree, they'll never institute a cap that would penalize a team like that. There'll be some type of grace period, two, maybe three seasons where you have to get back in compliance with the cap. So,
and I'll give you a name, Al Davis. Yeah. I don't know if he has the resources. He's dying. He wants to win a title. He's never been afraid to go against the league and sue the league. Why wouldn't he go spend $300 million in an uncapped year, and then when you try to institute something that screws him, welcome to the Supreme Court. He'll sue your ass and say, no, that you can't make me. You said it was an uncapped year.
Now, specifically, the Cowboys, see, here's where the rules come in. If you're one of the final eight teams in this capped year, you can't go out and sign any free agents unless you've lost a free agent. So if you lose a free agent, you can sign one. If you lose two, you can sign two. Yeah. So it does.
They also have to be of equal value.
Equal value, too. So it does prevent, the upper echelon teams, at least for this year, of doing that.
So Dallas got screwed by finally winning a playoff game.
Exactly. Well, someone was saying,
I really don't think that rule is going to be a big deal at all.
Can I ask you guys another question here? So does it preclude, big-name players like DeMarcus Ware, for example, right, who just renegotiated his contract, I think, last year, or signed an extension?
Right.
If all of a sudden he says, hey, I don't want to honor that new contract. I want to go into the free market and see as, get as much as I can. Can they do that?
No.
No. Well, he could hold out, but he's not going to win.
He's going to be suspended. Or not suspended, but
he's not going to get paid at all.
Right. They'll take away, they'll go get the money that he got and the bonus money. And yeah, I mean, he can't do that. If he wanted to do that, he would have just not signed an extension.
Yeah, he would lose multi-millions of dollars. And he, by the way, just signed a very lucrative deal that I don't think he would beat on the open market. Hey, that's a great deal.
Yeah, no, it is. So, have we put 2009 behind us?
Well, not really, because we didn't really discuss it on Tuesday. We got into an argument.
Oh, okay. I was really hopeful we could actually start looking towards free agency in the draft.
Okay, go ahead.
We're not going to the draft. I'm going to tell you that now. It's
not going there today?
It's January.
Yeah, we haven't even started looking at
players. 3 months
away
from the draft. Well, we can look at the off season, sure. And I think the labor stuff, I think, is
this is a poop bum draft.
Yeah, John, this is I'm going to swear now, John. So you might want to block your ears and make sure the kids aren't listening.
Ear for me.
Ed's point, John, about the labor stuff and trying to get the uncapped year and the rules and everything before we set forth on the off season, I think, is important. I think that's a key factor here.
And we're going to get those from. People in the know. We're not going to get it from a website or, not to belittle the websites out there, but we're going to make sure that we get it from the horse's mouth just for our own edification. We want to make sure we know and we're getting it right from, a source that's on the ground. Is John still there?
I'm still here.
Yeah,
okay.
I think so.
All right.
That makes sense. So we'll put off the draft talk and FA talk until this whole thing's sorted out.
Yep.
So what are we going to talk about between now and then?
Well, we got a ton of emails, John. So if you stick around, you'll hear what everyone wants to talk about.
Plus, we got playoff picks we got to make today.
We got playoff picks we got to do. We're going to have to hurry toward the end of the show and do those at about 10 of.
Paul forgot the
book.
Well, we know who's playing, but we don't know the.
Yeah, but I like to go over the results and write them down and do all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, we don't need to go over the results.
I do. I won, right? Yeah.
Fred went.
I only got one game right.
Fred went 2-2.
Fans don't want you to tell them what game I got right.
All right.
I'm with you, though.
Okay, John, thanks for calling. Appreciate that.
Yeah, Fred was 2-2. The rest of us were 1-3.
Pitiful. Pitiful.
Yeah.
I was 2-2 with the spread. You guys were 1-3.
Let's see.
Again.
Okay, so should we get to some emails?
Sure.
What are you doing?
My God.
Well, there was one email that I must not have dragged into my... box here.
Is that why you don't have all the emails? You have to move them around?
No. One, somebody emailed me. Who was having the party in Houston? I forget.
Jamie.
No. He was going to bring us over to play pool, but he never.
Yeah, he never.
I don't know what happened.
We never got in touch with
him. He blew us off.
No, there was somebody else that emailed me that said that they had a party. It was a fan club, and they had about 50 people there.
In Houston?
Yeah, in Houston.
Why weren't we invited?
Yeah, why weren't we invited?
We were invited, but we...
I was not invited, tell you that much.
He heard that we went to Buffalo Wild Wings. He said, you went there instead of my thing?
He never invited. I was never invited.
But we, Buffalo Wild Wings is like less than a mile from our hotel.
That's not the point.
I'm a man of the people. I like to be surrounded by the people.
Well, that's not the point either.
The people don't get too close.
The velvet ropes of the VIP area. You have to paint that whole picture.
With bodyguards, right?
Right.
Yep. All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email
like that
address.
Like Martha Coakley bodyguard slamming people on the side.
I was not privy to the details.
Well, the Herald said he was slammed. The Globe said he tripped.
Right.
And she lied through her teeth.
Yeah. Because there's a photo of her
looking straight at him.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll get right to the emails.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards, first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
Here's what PFW in Progress would sound like if we had a bleep button.
They were flexible.
That's probably where we philosophically disagree. I think 2007 they said we had team in...
He did it again!
That's unbelievable. We had a bad team in 06 that overachieved and we had to do something different. Wow. That's what I think we again,
with you, buddy.
I don't know. I'm having an out-of-body experience. I really, really apologize. That's twice in 2 weeks. This is what Fred does to me.
What is wrong with you?
I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Come on, guys. You know you can't say on Patriots.com radio, and you call yourselves professionals.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. I promised we were going to get to emails, and
I've gone a half hour without swearing.
That's good, Paul. All right. Mikey has a MP3.
You said you were going to get the emails.
Email that he sent. Well, it's an email, but it's audio email. So let's hear Mikey's email.
What's up, guys, at PFW in Progress? This is Mikey Vandalism coming to you with not-so-premium quality as the New England Patriots were knocked out of the NFL playoffs to Baltimore this past weekend. So looking forward to the 2010 NFL draft, I did some research, and over the past 4 years, from 2006 to now, the New England Patriots have only picked up two Pro Bowlers, one being Steven Gostkowski, the kicker, and Brandon Merriweather, who's just added to the Pro Bowl this year. And I don't know, that sounds a little bit troubling to me. I wanted to get your guys' feeling on that. The Patriots haven't been doing exactly well drafting. If you look from 2006 to now, a lot of these players aren't even on the roster or even in the NFL for that matter. And that's kind of interesting. 2008 and 2009 drafts, players are still progressing. But one pressing need is we really need to pick up some playmakers in these drafts. We can't be picking up one good player out of each draft and expect to be successful in this league. So I figured I'd get your opinion on that and see what you guys have to say about all this.
It's Mikey. Mikey Vandalism.
It's a problem.
What do you guys think? You agree?
It's a problem.
I can't really argue too much about that. I do think the 2009 draft, however, is going to be a very good one.
Yeah.
When we look back in 3 years.
On both ends, depth and high end.
Yeah.
But the problem
I think they
is
have some players.
You missed on playmakers.
That's part of the problem.
Chad Jackson starts there.
Yeah.
Maroney hasn't been the guy you wanted, 1,500-yard guy. Chad Jackson should be... Not only should be playing, should be the heart of your offense at this point.
What's the biggest
the guy?
Yeah, life would be very different if Chad Jackson was what he was supposed to be.
And if you ask most Patriots fans, what are the two or three biggest needs they have? How many would not include wide receiver?
Right,
was supposed to be that guy, Chad Jackson. That's right. The guy they targeted is the next big thing, and
right.
He just didn't pan out.
He flopped. But also, I mean, equally as flopping is the Merriweather draft where you got nobody. Aside from him, they're all, as Mikey said, out of the league or not here.
Because even though you got your receivers there with trades, they're older, so you didn't really...
Right.
True.
You know, you breached the gap, but you didn't really replenish the talent.
But you did get something for those draft picks. I mean, they use draft picks in other ways.
And I still think the top guy's a bust.
Yeah.
Because
I don't know,
to me,
a bust.
Yeah, there'll be an asterisk next to his Pro Bowl nod in the media guide, in my mind.
Well, it won't be in
won't
the media,
be the media guide. I was going to say.
Not in the media guide, but, I mean, you know, in his resume, in his, right. You know.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what he does in the, you know, right now he's not worth the value of the pick, but that could change.
Well, and, yeah, I mean, he might look better where he's surrounded by better.
Could
you know
be.
What I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
But because he's the one, and there was nothing after him in that draft, you missed on a draft earlier, now all of a sudden you're saying, why isn't he? Because they had such success for an extended period of time. Wilfork,
right.
Seymour, Warren, Mankins, those are all elite, and then even your busts play for you for 6 years like Daniel Graham and then sign big free agent deals to go somewhere else. They had a lot of good success there, and
I think 09 is going to be the same. Yeah. I think you got a starting left tackle. I think you got a playmaking cornerback. I think you got a receiver who's going to be, if not a star, a key receiver.
Not a star.
I think he may be a star.
He'll be a player.
He may be a star.
Talking about
well,
Tate?
Not in your eyes, because the guy who led the NFL for 3 straight years in receptions was irrelevant in your eyes.
I don't
Fred's
think
eyes.
He'll be as good as Welker.
In Fred's eyes.
Let's put it that way.
I think he could be better.
Edelman.
Mm-hmm. No way.
I think his big playability could make him a better player. The ability to turn some of those plays where Welker gets dragged down into touchdowns. Then you add that to your yards, and your yards per catch go up and everything. I think
love to see it.
Running ability.
I forget sometimes
could be
that he was a draft pick.
I guess you can't
pick.
Just get those
I keep
guys
thinking
anywhere then, huh?
Yeah. Sometimes that he was an undrafted free agent. I keep having to remind myself that he was actually drafted because they had so many draft picks last year.
I know.
It seems like he was a guy that would be a free agent.
He was
this was a
draft.
Good bounce back draft for them. I think that they did very well in the 2009 draft. Now they need to stack them. Yep. And they need to put another one together. I mean, I'm not saying they need to get 8 or 9 guys. They had a lot of guys. Like you said, Andy, it's not just the high end, it's depth. They have Jake Ingram. You know, you got your long snapper. I mean, that's another player you
did
got
we hear
out of
his draft.
Name
all year? Nope.
You know, so
that's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
So they had a lot of players. I'm not saying you need to get 6, 7, 8, 9 guys that
no,
stick
but you
next
can't
year
get
too.
None.
But you can't go back to 06 and 07 where you got nothing out of your draft.
Right. And the other issue is we talk about Merriweather. How good is he? Is he a first? But Mayo is going to dance that line. We got to see what he is healthy next year.
Yep.
Is he London Fletcher, just a tackling machine, or is he closer to Patrick Willis, a true playmaking centerpiece of your defense?
Yeah.
Because if you're going to be a centerpiece of the defense, it can't just be 110 tackles. It needs to be forced fumble, sacks, getting your hand on some balls.
An interception or two. Yeah.
Okay.
Eric could be the center.
he sets himself up now. You notice that he throws himself the slow pitch?
The key is
and then he knocks
just,
it out of the park.
You can't just roll right into it. There's a slight pause for Eric to get
his
salad.
Well, he was waiting for one of us to do something.
But you people are useless.
We weren't going to do it.
Now I know how Brady feels. I'm throwing passes to nobody.
I know you wanted me to say something, but I wasn't going to go there. But so you had to do it yourself.
Oh, he suddenly now has a line he doesn't cross?
I know it has to be true.
How's his sweater today?
What? It's true. It's a...
it's true.
It's a...
Turquoise?
It's a true sweater. I wouldn't say it's turquoise.
What do you got?
It's a
light blue.
Light blue.
Yeah. Come on. You got to give me more than that.
But
Sky blue.
It's not necessarily...
Powder blue?
It's not
powder
a scowl. Yeah,
denim blue?
It's like a powder blue.
Powder. All right. Let's go with powder blue.
Powder puff blue.
Just go light blue. Powder blue.
Yeah.
Not powder puff. Powder.
Powder puff.
Powder puff is the guy in it.
I think that's...
That's true, so that's fair game.
Kamani writes in. He says, I know it's been a while since you last heard
from
me.
Not long enough.
Been kind of busy around the office. You know how that is, Fred. Anyway,
well, why is it just Fred that knows that?
Anyway, back to football. The defense blows. They blow big time. I know the offense has stumbled at times, but damn, that defense sucks. And I think Coach Bill Belichick needs to take a little vacation, relax, and I can't say the word. I could say. He thinks he should... You know, have a good time on vacation.
Yeah.
Because I think he is slowly losing
his
mind.
Go to a buffet?
He made some weird decisions this year. What happened? We used to brutalize teams defensively. Nowhere thankful if they can hold a team. Now, he spelled now K-N-O-W. Now we're thankful if they can hold a team to 24 points. And what happened to Eric's webpage redesign? What
you had a webpage redesign? Is it up and running?
Yeah, it's like 3 years ago he was talking about that, right?
What happened?
Ran out of money?
Football season.
I have no...
So that's it. During football season, you can do no other things.
That's right. I focus my attention 100% on this job, Fred.
Well, I would say that's pretty true.
I have no time to do anything else.
When did you start it?
I started toying with the idea last off season, but then training camp rolled around, and that's it.
So it hasn't been 3 years.
Hey, Skip Holtz to South Florida. I didn't know that.
Wow. Okay, Sean writes in, the Patriots should be ashamed and embarrassed with that performance, especially since the Jets are going further in the playoffs than they are. There should be a feeling of concern since it appears that the Jets have caught the swagger/attitude that will probably carry into next season. They love playing for their coach, and they are aggressive. The Pats better get a plan in place so there will be no playoffs next year. They either have to pay the people they have now and continue their drafting ways, or... change their drafting ways and pick up some decent free agents. I know there is not unlimited money, but they need to figure something out. They need to find that fire and desire again. Question, do the Jets look somewhat like the 2001 Patriots?
What was the last?
I think they have a better defense than the 2001 Patriots.
The Jets look like the 2001 Patriots.
Yeah, they have a much better defense.
Much better defense. When did the Jets lack swagger? I missed that. I thought they had swagger from day one.
The Jets had swagger when they went 6-10. I mean, it's undue swagger.
No one had more swagger last June and July. Yeah. And then even when they were losing games, Bart Scott was still swaggering around, pointing at the offense.
I think the Jets are an intriguing team.
I think them to win the East, right?
Well, I've been telling you that, yes. I think that they have some talent. I think if their quarterback, and it's a big if their quarterback develops, I think it's going to be a very dangerous football team because I think they have the other pieces in place. They have good defense. They have a great offensive line. They have good skill position. Not great, but good skill position guys. They have a young quarterback. Now, if he makes a leap in year two and becomes a good quarterback, I think that's going to be a tough team to deal with.
They will be, although I think that they even need to upgrade from Braylon Edwards. I think that guy drops too many
balls. He sucks.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. He
does. Otis Smith. He's plays both directions.
He's a good receiver, but he's not a great receiver.
Yeah. Let's see. This is a guy that had the Houston draft party. He says, you went to Buffalo Wild Wings? No wonder the cab driver gave you a hard time. He knew where the real Pats fans were in Texas. Anyway, we had a pretty good party. About 50 fans from both Houston and Dallas showed up. We wish the game and season turned out better. But if the team was as beat up as rumors say, well, then you have to tip your hats to them for putting it all out there on the field week in and week out. Hopefully a rested and healthy Pats team will show up in 2010 to defend the division title from the rising Jets and Dolphins. And
why weren't we invited?
We were. We were invited.
So you declined for all
of
us.
You declined for all of us then? Which I'm not upset about, but we never informed it.
We decided to go someplace close to the hotel, and this place was like walking distance.
And I would have been all for that. If I had been informed, I would have been all for that.
You guys do good work. I enjoy Ask PFW and have really liked reading curse words after I get back from watching the game. Keep it up, and here's to 2010 and drafting well. That's Chris Stuck.
That's Stuck.
So, he had a party.
And we weren't invited.
He had a party.
And he cried if he wanted to.
You know, I heard a caller yesterday on EEI before I got in, and it's a frequent listener and contributor to our show, who we haven't heard from in a while.
Really?
Since he gave one member of the show a real beatdown about 3 or 4 weeks ago. We haven't heard from him.
Who?
Oh, no.
Mike in Puerto Rico. Good.
Oh, I hear Mike on EEI all the time.
Yeah, haven't heard from him.
He doesn't like you.
Surprisingly enough.
Huh. He doesn't like you.
Wow.
Surprised he didn't call yesterday after you left. Call EEI before you got there and call us after you leave.
People would say that that's not taking your medicine when you're wrong.
Who was wrong? I mean, what was that fight about?
That the Patriots were going to get the offense going, score 38 points a game, and roll through the playoffs.
He didn't know Welker was going to go down.
They didn't do it before he went down.
I'm just saying, you don't know. He gets the out. It's like me with Chad Greenway's knee.
What out?
I'm always right
get?
About Chad Greenway.
The fact that he's a good player tells you you're wrong.
No, I'm wrong. Yeah, you know why he's a good player? What do guys do after knee surgery? You know. That's why he's a good player.
Rehab?
Yeah. What do they do as part of their supplementation?
Lift weights?
No, supplementation.
Mark McGwire?
Run on treadmills?
Closer to home, Rodney Harrison?
Stairmaster?
I'm not here to talk about the past.
Yes, you are.
Did he say I'm not here to talk about the Pats?
He'll fit right in on this show.
Good, Fred.
I'm not here to talk about the past.
And the Patriots, they were a little banged up. I don't think we can really focus on the injuries.
Brady was banged up.
Well, I mean, there were
no more than any other team.
It was the same as every other team. That's just my point.
They had very few guys on injury reserve.
Right.
Nobody
until Welker got there. Thanks to you, nobody's on there.
David from Whitehall, Pennsylvania. First of all, before I start, I would like to just say how great a job you guys do and how much I enjoyed listening to you guys every week this season. And Fred, how are you able to do curse words and enjoy the game at the same time? I haven't enjoyed a game since 1995.
But you know what? That's a great point.
I really, you know.
You didn't enjoy the Super Bowls?
It's hard.
I enjoy them, but not like you would think.
Because you're nerve-wracked?
Yeah, you worry about the work that you need to do.
All you concern yourself with the whole game is, what am I writing?
Right.
How am I going to get it done in time? And then what do I do after that?
Because I know that the minute that if you win, our site's going to get inundated. Mm. And it has to be ready, you know? Mm. It has to handle the load. It has to – the e-commerce stuff has to be right. So I don't enjoy – you know, I don't get to enjoy it the way I would like to. But
have you ever gone back and watched?
I'm not whining.
A Super Bowl?
Yeah, it's not a complaint.
Yeah, I'm not complaining. It's just the way it is.
It's more bitching and moaning than whining.
I watched that first one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
36?
Yeah.
In fact, I was watching some video today of the parade and stuff, and that was really.
That's,
you go back to
that
parade was
you watched the parade?
Yeah.
This is what
did
we're resigned to. The season ended on Sunday.
Did you have to do that? Okay.
Yeah. Thinking about 2001 in the parade.
I've watched 36 and 38 Loserville. Numerous times.
Yeah.
I haven't seen much of 39.
Yeah.
I barely saw that one.
It wasn't
live.
A great game, though.
It really wasn't. You know, even at the end, you just felt like the Patriots had it.
Well,
you know?
And you felt like it was just. It was predestined anyway, predetermined. You didn't think there was any chance.
Sort of like
lose.
We saw at 07.
I was going to say, that's how I would have described
42
throughout the game until it ended.
Right.
Well, I didn't think it throughout the game. I thought it throughout the week, but when the game as the game was unfolding, I thought they were in a dogfight. I thought they would win it, but I didn't think it was predetermined.
But when Moss had that touchdown, I thought, you know what, this is so fitting.
Well,
they signed him for that reason.
Definitely.
I still thought
when they got the ball back with 36 seconds or whatever it was.
The first pass was a Hail Mary, I went, what are we doing? This isn't how we beat
these
situations.
I thought it would have had been another one of those Patriots miracles to get a field goal to tie the game.
I'm with Eric.
Now, what they did to get that was ridiculous. There's three Hail Marys in a sack.
That was, as soon as I saw the first one, I said, okay, it's over now.
Now there's not enough time. But
I was with Eric. When Moss scored, I turned to Eric. I go, look, a lot of things are going to happen.
Chris, you said.
You
said you turned to me.
Oh, no, Chris. And I said, a lot of things are going to happen. You know, there's going to be all kinds of stuff, but you need to focus on what you need to do.
Keep your head down. Don't even
do my job.
Right.
And then we lost, and
I've never
throw everything out the window.
I've never seen Chris as nervous as he was that day.
Wow, this is really what we've resorted to, though.
Reminiscing
about past
days.
Glories.
And it wasn't even glory.
Well,
the
last guy was updating his own website after the game.
And not surprisingly, he's no longer here.
Now to my email, says Dave. After watching, listening, and looking at Belichick during his post-game and Monday press conferences, I get the sense that he knows that he needs to go get some big money talent to get back to the top. I'm not going to ask about who you think about who they will draft. Or who they will release or trade, because nobody can really have an idea on what that will be. But I am going to give you some free agents this year at the four most needed positions on the team, and I want to know who has a legitimate chance on getting brought here. Not who you can see being brought here. Who do you think most likely will be brought here? I don't really know the difference
on that last sentence.
But. Anyway, wide receivers, Brandon Marshall, Vincent Jackson, Antonio Bryant, Anquan Boldin, Steve Breston, Josh Cribbs via trade, Devon Best, Bobby Wade, and T.O. You can forget about T.O.
All of those guys are free agents?
No.
No, Josh Cribbs isn't.
No,
right?
But he wants a new deal. So people say, oh, he's unhappy. We'll take him. We'll trade for
Vincent
him.
Jackson's
maybe Vincent Jackson. He was a restricted guy last year, I believe. So I think
he can't be restricted again.
He'll
be 5 years if he's
I think he's
going to
be
years.
A Mankins-like restricted guy.
And Marshall has a deal, but he wants out, right?
Or right.
Marshall probably would be available.
But
if
he's
you
a
want,
dink.
If you
want
yeah,
him,
I wouldn't want him here.
Yeah, I mean, T.O.'s, I think, he, you know, that was
forget
a one-year deal.
Yeah,
he's a free
that.
Agent. I wouldn't have want.
Wouldn't touch him.
It's my quarterback.
Devon
Best from Miami.
I can't imagine he'd be a free agent.
No. Yeah, he came out in
there's no way
not
he's
this
an
past draft, but
he's
the draft
guy.
Before.
Right.
Yeah, he's only like this is only his third year coming up. And
I don't know.
I'd take Vincent Jackson. I just don't think.
And then he goes to defensive linemen: Julius Peppers, Elvis Dumervilde, Johnny Jolly, Aaron Campman, Marcus Spears, Kyle Vandenbosch, Leonard Little.
No.
With Leonard Little.
Cheeky Okafor and
O'Keefe.
What's his name? Ogilvie?
Oglesby?
Ottawa Ogunleye. Yeah. Ogunleye.
I mean, you know, I'd love to have Peppers here. I said that for the last
He's
year.
A guy that will be available.
Who would you rather have? Elvis
Dumervilde
or Peppers? You got to choose one. Who would you rather have?
Peppers?
Really?
Yeah. I fear him not being.
Paul doesn't like Dumervilde because he's an overachiever.
I love Dumervilde.
Oh, you do?
I don't think he.
He's not on the list.
I don't think. No.
Why would he be an overachiever?
No.
He's a first-round pick who was brought into the league to be a pass rusher.
All right.
And he rushes the
passer. And I can't imagine he's a free agent.
The only
either.
Thing he's an overachiever at is people were surprised how quickly he played linebacker, how quickly he adjusted.
Right.
Or
now,
whatever.
I think that they could find spot for him. I'd love to see Dumervilde on the Patriots.
Bill wouldn't. He's not 6'4".
I think Peppers is better, but I think Dumervilde's an excellent player.
See, I think I remember when Zach Thomas came in the league, no one thought he could do it. But I think that's the type of change in position philosophy the Patriots need to make. Playmakers, guys like
high motor guys that just every down they're in on
the
play.
I agree. Zach Thomas is on my team.
That's why I thought about him.
But I agree with you, Fred. They don't necessarily have to fit your mold. If you see him making plays, let him make plays.
That's what I'd like to see.
I use the example of Brian Arakpo. We don't like these pass rushers, but he comes into the league and he has 6 sacks. I mean, 11 sacks.
Yeah.
I'm encouraged.
Sometimes you just have to watch the tape and say the dude can play.
I'm encouraged by Bill's comments about that Andy talked about on Tuesday. Perhaps a willingness to maybe get away from that strict guideline and just looking for a playmaker. And I'm encouraged by that.
Linebackers, Sean Merriman, Barrett Rood, Carlos Dansby, Bertrand Berry, Gary Brackett, Keith Bullock, Derek Johnson, Cato June, and Jason Taylor.
I would take about 4 or 6 of those. There's a lot of names there. I like
Carlos Dansby.
Sean Merriman, I take. Carlos Dansby,
Dansby,
I think, is phenomenal.
I would take.
Although I will say a lot of people were disappointed in him this year in Arizona and said he made more game-changing plays on Sunday than he did all year.
Wow. Cato June is a complete and total stiff who's been cut about 3 times.
And
since
Jason Taylor, not Jason. We saw what he did in Miami. Wasn't that?
Yeah.
Corners, Carlos Rogers, Dunta Robinson, Dre Bly, Nick Harper, and Deshae Townsend.
I would take
maybe
Dante Robinson.
That's
about it out of that group.
Dre Bly's
I'm not totally down
years.
On the. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with Sean Springs, but the secondary with a pass rush, I think that secondary may be serviceable.
Yeah.
They still lack the elite guy, but elite guy's not easy to get.
I do think if you're going to stay with the status quo, you have to re-sign Baden then.
Oh yeah,
I agree with that. I agree with that.
I'm pretty high on your boy.
I am too, but I'm not high on Will Hite at all, and that puts that thrusts Will Hite into a regular role.
You don't think Will Hite can play the star?
I don't think he's Wheatley's
that good.
Here.
Will you stop?
To be cut, to become that second round pick who gets cut.
I do like Butler.
Somehow he made the inside track yesterday. I'm surprised they even know who he is because we barely know who he is.
I do like Butler, and you know that.
I think he could start.
I think he's going to be a full time. I think he's going to be one of those playmakers that we're talking about.
Oh, I do too. I mean, he was this year.
I think
he was this close to having 5 picks and bigger plays.
That's a dangerous thing. That's the Mayo thing. And that's what you have to worry about. Let's watch him next year. If he's this close again next year, then you start saying, well, he's one of those guys that's in position but doesn't make the play. This year, he was really close. Next year, I want to see him making
the standard
those plays.
Is raised.
Yeah. And I would have no problem if you said Springs and Butler are my starting corners. You know, Will Hite's one of those extra. I don't like Will Hite. I never liked him from when we drafted him. Not personally.
I never liked him.
I didn't like him when he was as a rookie in training camp. There was a lot of buzz about him that I just never really saw.
I think he can play.
Okay.
He goes in streaks in my mind, which isn't necessarily a good thing for a corner. But
and I don't think that they're helped much by the safeties. I don't think Merriweather and McGowan helped them a lot during the bulk of the season. Well, those are the guys that played the bulk of the season. You know, Sanders played 5 games.
I was ready
Sandy's
to pounce.
Very sensitive when you bring up safeties.
I didn't mean, no disrespect intended.
Freddie, the lack of receivers, you think maybe James Sanders could get some run on offense?
I know. Thanks for reading the email.
By the way, Eric, you got pitch slapped.
I know.
When I asked if Butler could play offense mid-year,
I know.
Bill said, that's a great idea. I think he definitely could. And you asked.
I said, no. He's got enough to learn on defense.
He really does hate you.
He does.
Well, the thing
doesn't
is,
know your
too,
name, but he hates that guy that wears the sweaters in the front row.
Right.
Who's here on Mondays.
On Mondays.
Yeah, he was talking about... He was talking about the playoff game, and I don't think you were talking
I
about
wasn't,
the
and I said
game.
That. I said, no, I'm not talking about the playoffs. I'm talking about long term.
And he shot you down.
Yeah.
Boom.
Thanks for reading the email. Even though we were one and done in the playoffs, I can't wait till next season, and I have great faith in next year's team because if this team we had this year can get the 3 seed, imagine what a little spending can do.
Whoa. That's the revisionist history I don't like. Everybody on the earth said this team was as talented as any in football and was going to the Super Bowl and were going to win it.
Yeah, but then they saw what the team really was. But
I don't think this team
you
should ever
be talented.
I don't think this team should ever be referred to as, can you imagine if this team got the 3 seed, what we could do? I don't think it should ever be talked about in those terms.
Do you think they overachieved or underachieved by getting the 3 seed?
I think that they got what they deserved.
Okay. All right. So they're just where they should have been.
They're holy.
Yeah, I don't think they overachieved, and I don't think they really underachieved.
Okay. So they should have.
They achieved.
I mean, if I had to lean one way,
which
I would say.
Good.
I would
you
say,
like guys that achieve.
No, but I think they were what they were. If you had to lean one way, I would say they underachieved a little bit, but not by much.
I don't know.
Why? I had my eye on that other one.
I thought you already had one.
I had one, but you already had one.
No, I didn't have one. So I didn't have one.
You like chocolate.
I'll split that one with you.
Unbelievable.
You like the dark stuff.
I'll split.
You guys are getting 2 spoons for dessert again?
I've never done that with Eric.
Yes, you have.
I don't share my desserts. I eat them. I'm a man.
No, you've shared.
It's you and Bimo and Eric that have shared desserts.
It comes and goes.
I finish other people's desserts.
Let's see. Alex writes in, first time writing into the show, was disappointed with the result of Sunday's game, but we move on and look to 2010. Having said that, I have identified three things from a player standpoint only that we need based on the season's results. One.
Okay.
The O-line needs upgrades. Matt Light and Nick Kazier have become liabilities more than assets. Vollmer is the future and needs another guy to complement him on the right side. We also need a replacement for Neal, who is considering retirement.
Okay, that's number one.
Two, we have to get at least one wide receiver option via free agency or the draft. Stanback and Aiken aren't cutting it. Welker and Tate are iffy at best for the start of the season. We still don't know what we have in Tate, by the way. And while Edelman shows promise, we simply need more. Can't disagree with that.
Right. Three, I think you need two, personally.
Yeah, I think you got to go for two. And, you know, we talk about the draft, and they might have a great draft in 2010, but on this team, I never count on draft picks immediately being
that
type.
Especially at that position.
Yeah, being the type of contributor that we need right now.
At wide receiver.
They've got to either, you know, be creative with using picks. If you want to win the Super Bowl in 2010, they're going to have to either be creative in using those picks to get existing guys or spend some money in free agency.
Well, or draft a stud receiver instead of trying to get one in the fourth round.
Right. But,
well, or
but
draft the right
but
one.
But they have
That's
a lot of
saying.
Needs.
I mean, Edelman was clearly going to contribute this year either way if healthy. Deion Branch came in and contributed immediately. You've hit some. You've missed some. You have to hit the right one.
I think Edelman's a special case because of the position.
I do too, but you saw Deion Branch in the second
round.
Deion
Branch,
you
drafted
him.
That's what I'm saying.
And he was good.
You draft a guy, you extend some resources, and he can contribute right away. If you tried to rely on getting a guy in the fifth round, he's probably not going
to
be able to contribute
right
away.
No, but I just go to the second round where Bethel Johnson and Chad Jackson were equally unable
to contribute. I consider the second round a high draft pick. I consider that extending your resources to get a good player.
It's got to be the right one no matter where they take
it. If you figure that...
They've been 50-50.
You know, if you figure, like, at the most, three or four wide receivers are going to draft in the first round, you can get the fifth best wide receiver in college in the second round.
Sometimes there's, like, seven.
Well, sometimes. I'm just saying. I don't know.
And there's also a lot of accounts, by the way. It's not a very good draft.
I heard this was a really good draft.
No, I haven't.
Oh, I heard this is one of the deepest drafts in years, according to...
you know what? We've
I
heard
think
that
everybody
bad
was,
drafting the last three, 4 years.
I shouldn't
years.
Say I've heard. Pro Football Weekly, not high on this draft.
Are they not counting the guys who haven't declared yet?
Well, I think that people are...
some of them.
I think people are anticipating a lot more people declaring than will, because that rookie wage scale isn't going in.
Right.
That's definite. Everybody thought there was going to be a mass exodus because this was going to be the last year. Well, we know that 2011 is not going to have a rookie wage scale.
Yep.
That's definite.
But we've also heard the last 3 years, oh, this isn't a great draft. Wait till next year. And we've heard that every year the last few years.
When I hear it from inside New England, I think sometimes it's coming from inside New England. I'm going by Pro Football Weekly. I like to just look, first of all, they grade. They do a decimal grade, 7.9, 6 point whatever, and each one is something. It's, you know, future Pro Bowler, sure first-round pick, you know, could be this. And this year's, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but there's not even 32 first-round picks, according to them.
Well, somebody said it on the radio. I think it was last Sunday pregame, and I couldn't agree more. Football is like the only of the major sports where, you know, the draft, it's always what's next. You know, as soon as you get to this draft, they're already talking about next draft.
Right.
It's nobody's ever really happy with what you've got right now. It's always looking ahead, you know?
But some teams are happy with what they got right now. I think the Patriots get caught up in that.
Well, I think I'm talking about fans.
Oh, I was talking about the Patriots.
Yeah. See, Alex, his third thing that needs improvement, this has been a problem the past few seasons, and it must be addressed if the previous two aren't. Pass rush. I don't care if you draft a guy who's 5'10 and 175 soaking wet. If he can knock Peyton or Worthlessberger on their ass, then get him. Was also curious if these three needs I've listed match what you view as the top three. Love the show. Keep up the great work.
I would put necessarily in that order, but yeah, we can't disagree with any of those.
And receiver there too.
I would say pass rush and receiver, and I would add another corner to the mix rather than the offensive line.
Although the offensive line is probably
a
need, but not a major priority.
Exactly the way he wrote it is, I think, how I feel. I just think that one of the two will be joining Vollmer in the starting lineup. Now Neal is going to need to be replaced, but I'm going to guess the starter next year is already on the roster.
Connelly.
It's either going to be Conley or Ornberger or someone like that. Now, I don't know what that means in terms of the overall talent level of your line. I'm not well-versed enough on offensive line play to say Conley is 8 notches below Stephen Neal. I don't know what the difference is. Russ Hochstein always seemed to step in and perform a reasonable facsimile of the guy he was replacing. I don't know what the case is with these guys. I think that they like Ornberger based on some of the stuff that I've heard. I don't know what kind of talent. He seems kind of small to me.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I would worry about. But you get him, you know, you get him a year in the program, Andy, and sometimes you can learn size at the NFL level.
What are you on?
Sean in Edmonton writes in, I want to start by saying that I think Bill Belichick is the greatest coach in the history of the NFL.
But,
however,
he button-hooked me.
Even the best. However, I think that people overrate him quite a bit as a personnel guy. I think you guys should take a look at the Patriots draft classes during Bill's time in New England. I did, and I found them to be very underwhelming. Everybody looks at Tom Brady, and while it's true that was a phenomenal pick, it's pretty obvious that it was almost pure luck getting someone that good at that pick.
I would agree with that.
Everybody would agree with that.
Still, the Matt Castle pick shows that Bill does seem to know how to pick late-round quarterbacks. Other than that, almost all of Bill's good draft picks have been along the offensive and defensive lines. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because I think that those two areas are probably the most important ones after quarterback. But outside of the trenches, Bill's draft record is actually pretty terrible. When was the last time he drafted someone you would call a playmaker? Looking through all of his drafts with the Patriots, the only names that might have fallen into that category, as far as I'm concerned, were Deion Branch, David Givens, and Asante Samuel. Obviously, Brady counts too. I suppose that Brandon Merriweather and Gerard Mayo could someday reach that status. Still, it is alarming how much Bill has struggled to bring in guys to contribute outside of the trenches and the quarterback position. He got by in his early years by mixing Parcells' draft picks with his savvy free agent finds like Harrison and Vrabel, but he seems to have lost his touch lately in finding those free agent steals, and his drafting has not replaced the defensive talent that was here when he arrived. I'm left with the lingering fear that we're going to keep watching the team erode for the next few years until they can start drafting better, especially at positions where they have shown no ability to draft well. It seems a shame to me that the rest of Brady's career could end up being spent trying to carry a team that keeps getting worse every year. Well, there you go. It's one man's opinion right there.
Yeah, I don't think it's quite as bad as that was painted out to be, but it's not entirely wrong what he wrote either. I mean, I do think that the playmakers that he mentioned, Branch, Givens, I don't even know how much credit you can give him for Givens as a seventh-round pick who wasn't really considered a wide receiver
at
the time.
Who was an accident.
Who was also an accidental pick. And, I would put Mayo in that category as a, good, solid, athletic player that he targeted and got. But
good, solid player with the 10th overall pick.
Most of the good players that they've selected in the draft have been in the trenches, like the email. I mean, that's kind of fact. I don't think it's been as bad as he's claiming it is.
But they drafted a lot of those guys, too.
Right.
He chose to draft Richard Seymour, Vince Wilfork, Ty Warren, and Logan Mankins.
Matt White.
In the first, I was just going first-round picks.
Okay.
We don't know if he had used 4 first-round picks on a receiver, would they be good? He picked the right guy.
Right.
Right? All 4 of those guys are worthy of first-round picks, right?
Yep.
You got to have good lines.
And that's his philosophy. Yep. I mean, he clearly wants to have good lines. That doesn't remove him from the tight end screw-ups, if you believe those, or the running back or whatever, but he hit on those. And I think he's hit on as many as most people have.
Yeah.
The mid-round picks that I think he's getting crucified for missing now, people I don't think realize how hard it is to just year after year get an Asante Samuel, a Dan Copen, in the 4th and 5th rounds.
I mean, Asante Samuel is going to go down as a great draft pick. He is one of the best corners of his generation, and when it's all said and done, if he keeps getting 9 interceptions a year, he's going to be in the record books. He's going to be up in the
and that's not like Brady, where you just wanted a quarterback,
right?
And you just decided to take a flyer in the 6th round on a guy. Asante Samuel wasn't like that. I mean, that was good scouting.
What did you mean? Givens was an accidental.
They thought they were picking a local guy. Because he had a local agent. Brad Blank was his agent.
Yeah.
They couldn't decide on the pick. They passed on that pick twice.
On the pick like four times.
Or four, whatever.
You know, and the story goes, and it's been written several times in the newspaper, so it's not like we're telling tales out of school.
Yeah.
They said, just go with the local guy. And they picked David Givens, who had a local agent.
No, he's from Humble, Texas.
Right. He's not local. Mm.
And
so
ironic.
It's not like they said, this Givens guy.
He's also not Humble.
He was in a run-oriented offense at Notre Dame. And, you know, maybe we see something in him that maybe other – that's not what happened. And he just turned out to be a very good player.
Mm. So he's the Brady of the receivers for them.
Carl writes in, let's say that next year the Raiders go 2-14 or 1-15 and their draft pick that we traded for becomes the number one overall in the draft. I would have to think that we would have to take the number one pick, but what do you think Bill Belichick would do with it?
Trade out.
If he traded it down for it or traded it for a player who turned out to be a bust, he may just run himself out of town for the bust, of course, not for trading down. Just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on one possible scenario in the possible future. Oh, and for the fans who still haven't gotten over the loss, go to the Patriots homepage and click on the 10-18 link, then click game highlights. Sit back and enjoy the highest points in the season and get over it. It was just a game. Yeah, it sucks, but it was just a game. Referring to the
59-0
Tennessee
Titans,
game.
Yeah.
That was fun.
That was fun.
It was surreal.
Boo!
So again, we're talking about 2011.
I know. I mean, so many things are going
to
happen.
I think he'd trade out just because that seems to be what he does, trade down.
I would like to think that he would identify a stud and pick him.
I'd like to think that, too.
But I kind of tend to agree with Andy. I'm worried that he
would
trade out.
Plus the finances would come in. What are the financial situation?
And I don't really understand it. I just don't understand.
Who knows what's going to be available in that draft? Who knows what the Patriots are going to need at that point?
If you pick a good player, I don't think you're worried about the finances. If you pick a bad player, then, you know.
You're worried about
the finances. You picked a bad player, and the least of my worries is the financial side. It's the fact that I picked a guy number three overall who can't play.
Now, definitely, if you trade it for a player, he better be great.
Great.
You're trading for a veteran player.
I don't know, though. It's an interesting question because everybody, when they made that trade, everybody said how much more valuable that pick is going to be because the rookie wage scale is going to be in. That's not going to be the case.
Would you trade a first-round pick for Julius Peppers?
And I bought that.
I trade a first-round pick for Julius Peppers?
Would I trade a first-round pick for Julius Peppers?
Eric, you want to go ahead, Eric. You do it.
Would I trade a first-round pick?
You know, I don't know because even this year, he kind of had spurts where he was great, but then he didn't have a consistent year this year,
right?
He had
the same number of sacks as Tully Bentekane.
I would trade a first-round pick.
You would.
I would, too. I'm on board.
Because then you got to pay him, too.
I know.
Yeah.
But you get more upside with him than with
Bentekane. If I got out of my first-round pick what I get out of Julius Peppers, I'd be pretty happy.
Okay.
But Fred's right. The money is involved, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it absolutely is involved.
But I'm leaning towards Eric now because I'm leaning towards they're not going to be a strict 3-4 team anymore, so that whole can he play outside linebacker,
right.
I'm less
matter.
And less worried about.
Yeah.
I think they're more likely now to say, put Julius Peppers on the field, tell him to go get the quarterback.
Right.
Right. Yemi from Texas, Albert Breer said after watching the game tape, Edelman does not get open. Most of his catches come on scrambling plays like the first touchdown. The worst things that can happen now is for the Jets to win the Super Bowl. Being a Pats fan, it would be difficult after that.
Most of his catches or most of his catches Sunday?
Most of his catches Sunday.
Okay. I take nothing from that game Sunday because I've never seen the team had its ass handed to it like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
don't worry about the Jets winning the Super Bowl this year either.
Yeah, I don't. It's not with that quarterback. Eventually, you need a quarterback.
I would agree.
Can I say something about the Jets without this devolving into Tuesday?
Okay.
I know you don't think the Jets are very good. We've argued about that before. That's okay.
What? You said the Jets aren't very good.
Because I say that I think they're going to pick him to win the AFC
right,
next year.
Right, I won't, because
I think Sanchez is going to take
a couple years to grow.
Yeah.
I do think you're high.
Right.
But this has nothing to do with that. It's got nothing to do with you, Paul. The world doesn't just revolve around you.
Well, I just assumed
that the world revolves
you were worried
around.
About an argument, and
Fred,
I figured I was involved. Go figure.
Andy.
What have the New York Jets done in the last 3 years?
What have they done?
To acquire talent.
They spent some money in free agency.
And the top of the draft.
Yeah, and drafted.
Golston, 6.
Right, right.
Sanchez five or six.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
They picked twice in the top 10, which are, you know, toxic picks.
Right.
They signed Bart Scott, Jim Leonard, brought in Lito Shepard, traded for Braylon Edwards, re-signed Chris Jenkins, re-signed Thomas Jones.
Signed Alan Faneca.
Damian Woody. Oh, DeBrickashaw Ferguson, who was the first overall pick or first three. I mean, he's a very high first-round pick.
Okay.
They're just in cap hell. Next email.
Well, again, you know.
Here comes Tuesday.
I'm going to, at the interest of fairness, I'm going to completely stay out of this.
And emails that there have been
ahead.
A lot of.
Emails. I just wanted to ask.
Okay, so I'm not even going to get into it.
That's the answer
I'm not even going to get into it because it's just ridiculous. Zach from Syracuse.
It's really hard for me to stay out of it after that line.
I don't hate Belichick. I just think he needs help. He has way too much on his plate right now, and he needs some more help on the staff. He's 57 years old and by no means is done. He just needs some help. Taking on all the responsibilities he did this year is a lot for anyone. Unlike a lot of people, I'm not ready to throw him under the bus after a decade of success. Thanks, guys. Love the show.
There's not a lot of people. That's a vocal minority, as Fred likes to call it, when they rip the website.
And I also think there
it's
are people...
It's a very loud, but right. but minority.
But yeah. I think there are people that are questioning some of the things he's done, much like the email just said. I think there's too much on his plate. I think that's a criticism.
He needs help.
He needs help.
I caught that in there a few times.
Yeah, but I think there's a lot of people that are saying that, you know, let's get a real offensive coordinator. Let's add a couple of guys to the staff. Let's get some guys in here, as he was talked about on Monday, that can tell him no. When they think he's doing something wrong or they question something he's about to do. I don't think there are a lot of people that are saying we need to go in a different direction and find a better coach or another coach.
Let me tell you.
His time has passed. I don't think there's a lot of people saying
that. It won't be too long after he leaves that Patriots fans will be wishing they still had him. I can guarantee you that.
I totally agree with you, much like it didn't take long for people to say, I wish we had Parcells back.
Yep.
Took about a month.
Including players.
Took about a month.
You know, so be careful what you wish for, you loud but... small minority.
And that's a great point, Fred. Freddie,
I was going to say something else, but I edited myself.
Yeah, it's a great point because you remember, that. Fred, there was a lot. It was like 80%. We're glad Parcells is gone.
Right.
He was a loudmouth. He was a bully.
He didn't treat us like adults.
No, I'm not talking about the players. I'm talking about the fans.
Oh, I was talking about the players.
Everybody thought that he was overrated. He didn't do that much. He was 500 as the Patriots coach. What's he ever done with us? You know, not taking into consideration that we were 2-14 laughingstock that he took over, and then all of a sudden a month later when you saw the clown that came in and the clown show that is now in the Pacific Northwest,
he's a good guy.
He's a great guy. Can't coach. KK can't coach.
No disrespect to anyone.
I'll be rooting for him.
When he has an overwhelming edge in talent, he might I stress the word might be able to beat you.
Fun. Let's see.
Other than that, Paul has no strong feelings.
Yeah, about right.
He's a terrible football coach.
We like to have fun.
Hey.
That was part of
what
the problem.
What is this? What?
I'm about to get angry in a second.
Did you get voted off the island?
No.
Oh.
I go to Boston.com.
Oh. Yeah.
You son of a bitches.
What happened?
Keep him or cut him.
You son of a bitches.
They did the same thing we did.
Thing and
I did back or gone on the blog yesterday. They did keep him or cut him, and they have a photo thing of all the guys. And you decide to keep him or cut him.
Wow.
When was this posted? How do I find that out?
They're copying us again. Well, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
That's how I take it, Freddie. I don't get mad at that stuff anymore.
As long as that is displayed in our reviews and our paycheck. You know, reviews are coming.
We talked about how do we continue to get the traffic to the website, Freddie.
But I did want
these
to
are the things that we're
send
doing.
Send them to Boston.com.
This is what we're
Tacoma
doing.
Tacoma says
we already
they
had
posted
it.
That yesterday.
I don't think
so. We
did
already
I.
had it.
And they decided to cut James Sanders.
Now they're
Now they're really pissing
Andy
off.
Now they're just stupid.
Yeah.
That shows the lack of football knowledge they have
it's
on that staff.
It's definitely a needle
to
Andy, that whole thing.
I'm trying to get it in a list.
Why would you want to cut James Sanders? He's not costing any money.
Well, he's costing you some money.
A little bit, but not a lot.
The only unanimous choice, the AP All-Pro team came out, and I'm trying to skim through it. Chris Johnson was the only unanimous choice. Peyton Manning. It's really hard to – why don't they just put it in list form? Why don't you guys talk about
all right,
yourselves?
Paul from London. It's a sad week in Patriots Nation. We lose an extra PFW show a week, which sucks. But on the plus side, we lose the negativity of John Rook until September.
John really ruffled a lot of feathers this season.
He's really
with
Mr. Negative now. The voice of the Patriots.
What happened?
At least people are listening.
Are you sure you guys didn't like cut his pay or something?
I don't know. But, geez, I thought Eric sucked.
Wes Welker
Andy
made it
laugh
for the first
here,
time.
But Rook truly blows. Wow.
No, it's. Oh, sorry.
What did you
I
say?
I stopped.
Wes Welker is
made
an all-pro.
All-pro?
For what I can see,
oh, good for him.
He may be the only Patriot.
Okay.
Well, but, he was the number one?
Mankins?
What do you mean number one?
Do they only have one wide receiver?
No, they have two. I'm sure it was him and Johnson.
Yeah, Houston, Andre Johnson, Wes Welker.
Paul says, one thing I remember Andy saying in September, wait for the game that Chris Johnson or another running back runs straight through your D-line in the playoffs. Then you'll know that you miss Richard Seymour. I still like the deal, but the third down running conversions wouldn't have happened with Seymour out there. Well, they happened in 08, but anyway.
No, they didn't.
Questions for you
I think
all.
I used Rashard Mendenhall in my little scenario.
How many times does he go back and forth in the same argument? Yeah. They were 11-5 with Matt Cashel. Right. They have a great middle class.
Right.
They didn't fall apart.
We all complained about the defense in 08.
Yeah, the secondary that was getting bombed over. Delta O'Neal.
We all complained about
Delta
the defense.
O'Neal and the pass defense.
I did complain about the secondary.
And pass
and
rush.
I'm complaining about it more in 09 because the good players that could have been
and
here
pass rush.
Weren't here
and
to help.
What part of run defense is involved in pass rush?
Well, I'm telling
I'm just
you.
Asking.
I'm not.
Because that was what the emailer just brought up, that they got run over.
I don't care.
Run over.
I don't care what you say. I am not sure that this team would have been that much better with Richard Seymour.
All I can tell
on
you
Sunday.
Is what happened on
throughout
Sunday.
The season.
On Sunday.
What happened on Sunday.
I'm not talking
Sunday.
About the season. I'm talking about Sunday
I'm talking about,
when the other team ran the ball 52 times down your throat.
I'm talking about well,
52 times.
I didn't know Richard Seymour played in the middle of the line because that's where that first run went.
And
I,
where did they move Wilfork to, your best player?
I
to
like,
the end of
where
the
did
line.
That first run,
where Richard Seymour
where,
played.
Where did that first run go?
Right up the gut.
Right up the gut. Is that where Richard Seymour
so
played?
So they lost the game because of one carry or
no,
52
but they,
of them?
They moved Wilfork
look,
to the end
of 51 others or the one?
I don't care what you say.
Richard Seymour is not
I know
here.
You don't, because yeah. that's when you when
right.
you get in these moods,
I don't,
it doesn't matter how
I,
much logic
I,
anybody
reason
brings.
Be damned.
I don't think they would have been that much better on defense with Richard Seymour. I'm sorry.
All I'm telling you is if you say that about Sunday, you don't know anything about football.
Okay, well,
they ran the ball 52 times, and you had an all-pro defensive tackle not there
well,
to stop
he
it.
Would have been hurt by then.
Okay.
Oh, now let's take shots at Seymour
that's
time.
Good logic.
Question for
you. You know, going into a contract year, he would have been
I
hurt
only
he really would have tanked
I only hope that we
Richard Seymour hears this and kicks your ass.
Because poor Tom Brady will become the biggest has-been that you've ever seen.
Oh, God, yeah.
If for whatever
the injuries,
reason he decides
the playoff
to sign
interceptions,
somewhere else.
The everything.
He had to go. It was time for him to go.
Question for you all. What percentage chance that we trade up for or pick up any of these players as free agents? My guesses are in brackets. Julius Peppers, 30%.
38%.
I think there's a chance.
25%.
Merriman, 25%.
22%.
10%.
How about... Bolden, 10%.
8%.
35%.
Brandon Marshall, 20%.
This is a stupid game. We're just making up dumb.
2%.
Who was it, Brandon Marshall?
Yeah.
Negative 72%.
Terrell Owens, 30%.
Negative 59%.
6%.
Zero.
Let's see. He thinks that Malcolm Floyd, we have a 50% chance of picking up Malcolm Floyd.
He's restricted too, right?
Might be. Paul's going to get the
I'd never heard of him
guy.
Until last year, so I assume he hasn't been around forever.
Reggie Bush, he says, if Falk retires, we have a 25% chance of picking him up.
0% chance
Reggie
of picking
Bush.
Up Reggie Bush.
And Carlos Dansby, a 30% chance of picking. That's what he thinks.
No, it's lower than that, I would say. And although he'd be a great linebacker to sign as a transition, if you're going to a more athletic, speed-based, he's all about athletic and speed-based. Kevin Falk is pretty adamant that he'll be back.
Who's all about athletic and speed?
Carlos Dean.
Carlos Dean.
Oh, yeah.
And finally says, do you see us drafting any of these players? C.J. Spiller, Dez Bryant, or Golden Tate?
Golden Tate,
Golden
maybe.
Tate would be an interesting
I'd
one.
I'd take any of those three. But
Golden Tate would be interesting because of we're talking about the guy's going to have to be ready, and he has
yeah.
a step up theoretically from Charlie's system to here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he could be
and
more
dude
rookie
makes
ready.
Some ridiculous catches.
Dude knows
all he
test,
does
right?
is catch the ball.
That's good. Yeah. I like that in my receivers. I like the characterization of my receivers is
Vincent
all
Jackson
he does is catch the ball.
Has just completed his fifth season, so
right.
he's not a
restricted.
Free agent.
Ridiculous.
Malcolm Floyd.
The barber?
Has just completed his third season.
So he's...
I'm sorry. That's not right. Where's his stats? Oh, here we go. Just completed his sixth season, so he will be a free
Son
agent.
Son of a bitch.
Well, provided that he's not under contract. I don't know what his contract status is. Signed with Chargers, an undrafted rookie in 04. Hmm. Resigned 1 year contract in 08, so I don't know what he signed to play in the 09. This is a year old. I don't know what he signed before the 09 season.
Where's he from?
San Diego. Wyoming.
Wyoming.
River City High School in Sacramento, 6'5", 225. So he potentially is available, Malcolm Floyd.
Big play guy?
Big played play guy, but not
Jackson
a lot
Shadow.
Of...
40-something catches?
Not a lot of production.
17.2 yards per carry? Well, on last year against the Patriots.
Chris, yeah. With the TIAN, there's been some talk recently, Ron Borges on Comcast Sportsnet, that Brady's agent went to the Pats last summer for talk of an extension, and the Pats said they were not interested at that time.
Oh, ye of little faith.
According to Borges, this is what...
See what you did there.
This is what Brady's agent told him. Understandable, since Brady had 2 years remaining and coming off major knee surgery. In my opinion, this is one of the major issues facing the Patriots this offseason. They must lock him up and not wait. What do you guys think?
I agree. I don't think it was overly understandable to not do it last year. I don't know if that's accurate, that first of all, that report. If Brady went to them and they said no, if you were concerned about the knee, you wouldn't have gotten rid of Matt Cassel. So clearly they weren't overly concerned about the knee. And I think generally when you have a big-time quarterback, it's 2 years out. You look to redo the deal, not 1 year. So I don't think it was overly understandable to wait. But I do agree you have to get that done, and you have to get it done now.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Jay from Hanson. I hear a lot of people blasting Bill for his drafting of free agent acquisitions, and some of it is deserved. However, the person who was skating on this is Bob Kraft. We always hear we spend to the cap. But for that's just a cover for we don't want to spend too much to field the best team. Kraft sets the budget, and I feel Belichick's hands are tied when spending money to acquire talent. I don't want to hear about the cap because that's just an excuse to keep the cost down. I hear every year that the Jets are in trouble with the cap, but I see them signing the Fanicas and Bart Scotts of the world and grabbing top draft picks. I think Kraft has a lot of money tied up in Patriot Place and other endeavors, and he's reluctant to extend himself to buy top-line talent, not second-tier talent. If the Pats continue to lose talent and let their players walk because the value isn't there, he may be compared to latter-day Jeremy Jacobs. Well, there's somebody blaming the Krafts for not spending the money. So, what are you going to do? You know? I mean, and it's... If Wilfork had accepted the deal that they had given him, that offered him, they'd be number 13 in cash spent this year. So they're about in the, you know, little above the middle of the pack. So, I mean, you know, I don't know what else you want him to do, really. You know?
I just want him to sign the best players.
And I think that's what they want to do, too. You know, but they're not at the bottom. They're not like with the, you know, I don't know who was at the bottom. But they're not at the bottom of the league in cash spent. And that's not cap. That's cash spent. That includes bonuses and all that stuff. So,
but they're 22, you said?
Right now they're 22 because Wilfork didn't accept that deal. Right. So, I mean, that's just a fact.
When do you think we get the list this year?
I don't want to stir the pot, but where are they in terms of revenue?
They're probably in the top, you know, one of the top five, I would say.
Because isn't that number, shouldn't that be tied to revenue? Isn't that you're a market, what you
generally
can afford?
Generally, the top three, right? It's Washington, Dallas, and the Patriots,
Are tied together, correct?
Well, those...
That would be where you could take advantage of your market.
Yeah, having that money, that revenue, allows you to overspend.
Everybody can be in the cap range,
right?
But so that allows you.
So you're saying if you're in the top five in revenue, you should be in the top five in cash spent?
More often than not.
You would
think, there's ebbs and flows. We know that number. I mean, if you sign Brady tomorrow, the number goes shoo.
That number is not indicative of what you spend. The year-to-year cash spent is not really indicative of your resources spent.
More often than not, you should be near the top of that if you're near the top of revenue.
Well, like you said, if they do re-sign Brady, that's going to go right to the top.
They sign Wilfork and Brady, it'll be high.
You know, I'm sure the Giants are at the top now because of what they did with Eli Manning.
The Steelers are probably really high. They did Roethlisberger and Harrison.
That's why I say that number is not really indicative of what you spend.
It's what you did that year.
It's who you spend on. And who did you not go get because of, well, I just thought that was too much money. That's what I'm looking at.
Right. Let's see.
16 All-Pros for the first time. You think that's a lot?
That's one of those numbers that sounds like a lot, but, you know, if you told me last year there was 21, then I don't, you know.
Who do you think the top vote-getters were? Johnson was the only unanimous. Who was close to unanimous?
Peyton Manning.
Darrell Revis.
Darrell Revis, 48.
Peyton?
I know.
What is this for?
All-Pro votes.
Oh, top All-Pro?
Mm.
One of them we compare one of our players to often, or I do anyway. I won't lump you guys in.
Mayo to Keith Willis.
Patrick Willis.
Patrick Willis was second with 49.
Was he a basketball player?
Former Northeastern player.
Oh, that's right. That's
one of the biggest men I've ever seen in my life.
He played for the Steelers and I think Buffalo for a little bit.
I'm talking about Kevin Willis.
Oh,
yeah, he's talking, right? The
basketball
Hawks
player?
Guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No,
one of the biggest men I've ever
player.
Seen yes. in human really? In person in my life.
Keith Willis
what are you
played.
Talking about Willis?
Patrick Willis.
Patrick Willis had 49 first place wow. votes. Then it was the corners, both Woodson and Revis had 48.
Well, I was
going
to say Woodson, but I didn't know if you could only vote for one. Like, I didn't know if Woodson would have had to have gotten two.
No, it's a team.
Did Jared
so
Allen
vote
get
for
any
two
votes?
Two corners, two ends, two.
Did Jared Allen get any votes?
Jared Allen's on the team.
Oh, so he did get votes. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not listed.
He's not
among
in the top.
Yeah. I mean, some of the other. Ray Lewis was on it again. Vikings had four. Kevin Williams, Jared Allen, Steve Hutchinson, and somebody else.
How about Darren Sharper?
Darren Sharper, Paul. Yes, made it.
But not a high vote getter?
No, just include.
Does it give all the pro bowlers and how many votes they got to be all pros? Or just the all pros and how many votes they got?
No, it has nothing to do with Pro Bowl. It's the All-Pro team. It's a whole different
team. Yeah, but
team.
No, I know, but don't they typically draw from the Pro Bowl?
No, it's just
it's draw from
no.
the whole league.
It's just the AP voters vote.
But can't you get votes? Like Brady, for instance, he's not an All-Pro, but I'm sure he got votes, right?
I don't think so.
You only vote for one quarterback. You pick the best quarterback in the league.
But you said it wasn't unanimous for anybody but those top two, right?
Right.
So Brady might have gotten
Drew
some votes.
Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers.
Right.
I mean,
what were the votes?
They don't have the chart.
That's what I'm saying. Oh. Is there a breakdown?
I'll bet Brady didn't get any votes.
I don't think he got any votes. I would. He shouldn't have.
No.
If you're picking one quarterback, he was not the best quarterback in the league this year.
I thought they usually.
I just would have been curious
see,
to see if anybody did
pick
him.
I was wondering if they just had one guy.
Suck up from around here.
Yeah, I don't know if we even have a voter, though.
Oh.
Does Curran vote?
I don't know.
Because there's only 50 votes, right?
Right. Yeah, 50 is perfect. If you get 50, you're a unanimous selection. And he,
the All-Pro team is a difficult team to make.
Chris Johnson's clearly pissy that he got no MVP votes, and he's offensive player of the year, unanimous All-Pro.
Well, I'll continue.
So
to
how many
say,
votes did Manning get?
I know Fred disagrees.
I don't believe it says here.
The offensive player of the year MVP thing to me is that's a joke. How a guy can get no votes for MVP and be a unanimous, almost a unanimous selection for an offensive player of the year makes
see, I can
no
understand
sense
it.
To me.
Oh, Adrian Peterson.
Peterson
I was leaving out. Hutchinson, Freeney, Peterson. And Williams.
Eric writes in.
Eric's and, right here.
Yeah, not that one. Oh. This one is from, let's see, where is he from?
How do they spell
San
it?
San Francisco.
With a C or a K.
That, incorrectly,
it must
then.
Be your brethren, then.
Yeah. He didn't answer the question.
Yeah. Right, Fred?
What's that?
Eric from San Francisco.
Right.
My brethren.
Probably with a K if he's in San Francisco. That's K.
he said, guys, I'm baffled.
And Eric.
The postmortem on the Baltimore loss is really an exercise in futility because with the exception of Falk, Seau, and Edelman, no one came to play.
That list continues to grow with guys that are
listen,
irrelevant.
It was Kevin Falk.
Christian had it right when he said it the other day.
The least of which Tom Brady. But let's take a moment to look back at how we entered the season. We escaped, and I emphasize escaped, with a win at home against a much less talented Bills team.
True, yeah.
No going into that game.
Are we going to do this for every game?
And indeed, entering the season, remembered how excited we all were. Putting aside the defense, we had Brady back and almost everyone else in the offense, Moss, Welker, Falk, the O-line, Watson, not to mention Baker, a great pass-catching tight end, and perhaps the biggest improvement, a stable of running backs that we did not have in 07. From all viewpoints, this team should have been more balanced and more explosive than the 07 version. What was missing? A viable third wide receiver? Are you kidding me? A hole at the third wide receiver position is why the offense was inconsistent at best and at times downright awful? No way. Look, I'm as avid a Pats fan as there is, and I'd like to think an educated one at that. But a lack of a legit third wide receiver is not the root cause of the problem here. There is something more pathologically wrong. So what is it? Stepping back and really thinking about earnestly and objectively, all indicators point to coaching and play calling. I've already piled on O'Brien, and I don't really care what his resume says, but it's not just him. Guys, it starts at the top with 4th and 2, to pass before you run, to poor clock management, and on and on. Ultimately, it rests with coaching, and I think that's why it's no real surprise Charlie and Romeo are back together again in KC. Let's see if that little experiment bears out this hypothesis. I'd like your thoughts. As an aside, what about re-signing Dante in the offseason? He's paid his price, done his time. He's way better than Aiken, including his yards after catch.
That's true, but he's a murderer, and I don't believe he's allowed in the league, is he?
Yeah, he's suspended, right?
Right, so.
That's like we got a call yesterday that wanted to get Plaxico Burress back.
No.
You know,
the jailhouse gang.
I think we just have to do better at what they do get. I think we keep looking at the past. Let's bring back Charlie. Let's bring you know,
gotta
guy.
Got to look forward.
Listen, there's a lot of truth to that email, but I don't think anybody is saying it as simplistically as they didn't have a third wide receiver, and that's why they weren't as good offensively. First of all, the offense was good in 2009. It just wasn't great.
Wasn't consistent.
It wasn't consistent, and it didn't always come through in the clutch. It was the times that they really needed it that it failed. That's where you're right, Fred, the consistency. You know, they didn't get the first down in the second half. They didn't score points in the second half to put games away. But it wasn't a bad offense. For the most of the games, would you consider our offense bad for most of the games that we played this year?
No.
It just wasn't consistent.
No, it wasn't
right.
What we're used
to
saying.
So it wasn't like it went from 2007 where we couldn't be stopped to we were inept like the Cleveland Browns and couldn't move the ball. There was something in between there. And it wasn't just about
coaching comes in?
Well, I do think that's
inconsistency leads to coaching.
I did say I think there's a lot of truth in that email.
If you suck, but if you show you can be good, then the coaches need to make you good all the time.
It wasn't as specific to me as just the third receiver. I don't think Randy Moss was 1/10 of the player this year that he was in 07. Same guy, but I don't think he was as good.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't think he was as good. Lawrence Maroney wasn't as good this year as he was in 07. Well, you know, down the stretch where he was running for 100 yards every game, four times in the last six weeks. I don't think he did that this year. I don't think the offensive line played as well this year as it did in 07. Same guys again. Yeah. You know, the same five starters, but they didn't play as well. And certainly Brady did not play anywhere near as well this year as he did in 07. So, yeah, it's the same guys, but they didn't play up to – do you agree with – I mean
– I agree.
I don't think
he's
they played –
he's got something in his eye again or something. He's twitching over there. He's –
I think the third receiver was important, but it wasn't the only thing.
Jay the Jags fan. Hey, guys, and even you, Andy. Holy crap, Pats fans are so spoiled.
Jag off.
You won your division. You showed my team just how bad they are, and yet your fans are abandoning ship. Bill sucks. Tom can't play anymore. Randy doesn't care. Are you all crazy? You have one of the best quarterbacks of all time. You almost certainly have the best head coach of all time, and Randy is a dead-set Hall of Famer. I have to agree with what Paul said a few shows ago. Bill the GM let Bill the head coach down.
Yeah, Paul came up with that
one. I'm certainly not the only one who said that.
Trading down and hoping Joey Galloway was going to be your solution to third receiver without a backup plan wasn't smart. Losing West really hurt you. Edelman played as hard as he could in that game, but honestly, in my opinion, even with Welker, I don't think you'd have won that playoff game.
I think you're right.
No, okay, guys, now who do you think is going to win the big game? Please don't say the Colts. I'm so sick of Pelion. After tanking on a possible unbeaten season, he deserves nothing. Thanks, guys. Still loving the shows. I'm even over the Eric sweater stuff. And, oh, by the way, Andy, I try hard to dislike you, but you crack me up.
A lot of people say that.
That is pretty much the common interpretation.
Except the part about him cracking them up.
No.
Right.
Everybody wants to strangle me until they have a beer with me in Denver, and then they don't want to strangle me anymore. I'm a nice guy.
No one's ever had a beer with
except
you.
The listeners.
And I don't try hard. I don't try hard to dislike you. It comes very easily.
That's true. Also, I'm nothing.
What'd you say?
Nothing.
What?
You're a happy fellow.
What?
Oh, for God's sakes.
How many teams didn't have an All-Pro? I'm stuck on this All-Pro stuff. 15 teams without an All-Pro.
Who's going to win the Super Bowl?
Including the defending Super Bowl champions.
San Diego Superchargers.
Choking Chargers, San Diego.
Come on, Doc.
Choking Chargers.
Oh, not that one. That one.
Woo! San Diego Superchargers. Who's in it?
Who's in what?
I don't watch the league.
Okay, Matt Light.
Not Baltimore.
I'm going to say San Diego and Dallas.
I like the Colts.
Colts?
I like the
Cowboys,
Colts.
Super Bowl, and it's a pick 'em.
San Diego, Dallas.
Colts, Saints.
Who will choke less?
Saints.
The Dallas Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl.
Colts, Saints. You
Colts,
say.
The Colts suck.
Well, don't we do our picks later?
We do.
We have to do them pretty soon.
Yeah, we got to hurry. And I'm sorry, the emailer asked us who we thought was going to win the big game, and I thought we should answer the guy's email.
To be fair, we skip a lot of email questions.
Right,
Fred will finish an email.
We skip a lot of emails.
We have to do a lot of emails.
Well, that's because Fred can't read.
Christian from Denmark says, read on SI / NFL. I guess that means in the NFL section of SI. That it's over for the Pats, an article written by a guy called Dan Shaughnessy. Of the articles I've read, he's a bit of a doomsayer. What's your opinion on him?
Yes, he's a bit of a doomsayer. I think
so
that's
Shaughnessy
very accurate.
Is now he's writing for SI now a little bit.
I have to see it. Did they get it from the Globe?
And there's a content sharing agreement.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if it
so
appeared in the Globe.
Well, it's
the one that we saw the other day.
He likes to
Shaughnessy
take his
shots. Is a gloom and doom guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't mean he's not bad. He's not terrible. Everybody, he takes a lot of heat in
he
Boston.
Wasn't terrible 30, 25 years
he's
ago.
He's the most hated
now
guy
he's
Boston.
Been writing the same column since then. That's the problem.
He writes a lot of the...
He sucked 30 years ago.
He writes a lot of the same columns, but it doesn't mean that he's not good.
What did that say about Norm Chow?
Say.
Is he going back to USC?
But I don't think it's over.
Peter in Medway just wanted to drop a quick email to Fred.
Peter in Medway.
Pat on the
it's
man
groom
back.
Offensive coordinator in the NFL named Peter from Medway.
Oh, wow. Pat on the man groom back. The new Patriots Lite iPhone app is good stuff. I downloaded it from the App Store yesterday and will be using it to get all of my Pats-related content in the offseason beyond. Now I can be fully up to date on what coaching staff gets poached by other teams, unlikely this year, I'd say, what key players will be holding out due to unhappiness with being tagged or not hitting unrestricted free agency due to an uncapped year, what future free agent busts are signed, and how far down we trade the number 22 in this year's draft. By the way, we did We launched an iPhone app recently. And,
there's an app for that.
Yeah, and if you have it, we're going to be actually adding things to that over the next few months. So it's going to be get better and better.
If you can get service, you can use it.
Can't make a phone call, though.
No.
If I may, though, I'd like to suggest one new feature.
No, you good.
The Eric sweater update. Maybe even with a small photo of the day sweater and a link to an online
retailer
that sells it. wonder if Paul is muttering about the rebuilding comment.
He called you Shaughnessy.
Oh, no, he was very negative. That's why I was calling him Shaughnessy.
And he also led the witness. Which guy will hold out after being unhappy with being tagged?
Oh, yeah.
It's only one guy.
Yeah.
I thought really it was, a question.
I thought the email was funny, actually. I did, too.
Todd in Nova Scotia, who was your Patriot Rookie of the Year?
Sebastian Vollmer.
It's hard to argue with that.
Yeah.
I think he's...
What would be number two, Edelman?
Butler?
I think Butler.
Yeah, he played a little
Ingram.
Bit.
Ingram. Although, yeah. Long snapper, some credit. I'm just kidding.
Too many high snaps.
I'm kidding.
For my
I'm kidding.
Too many high snaps for my liking. You send that to me maybe twice all year. Maybe twice.
That's two more than he wanted.
I said 5 years. For
that's 16 games.
9 years.
I mean, I minimum of what? 8 snaps a game, something like that. So the guy snapped the ball 150 times. You said it twice, and too many high snaps. For
I
you.
Might have only said it twice, but I thought it at least 4 or 5 times.
You're an idiot. Right.
You said it with your eyes, Paul.
I thought
said it with your eyes.
I thought he was. Malakali I thought he was a bit erratic.
Todd says we need to draft a home
run. I like Jake. He's a good guy.
We need to draft a home run hitting running back. Fred Taylor and Sammy Morris are fine, but they don't scare anyone. In my opinion, his potential home run ability is the only reason Maroney got as much rope as he did this year. Imagine how much different our offense would have been if we had taken D'Angelo Williams instead of Lawrence Maroney.
Yeah.
It might have been.
There was talk about that draft.
Butterfly effect, though. You never know.
I was imagining.
That was one of the guys we thought was
the guy I wanted.
Radar.
It's the guy I picked. Not that I'm always right, but.
Matter of fact, you really are.
Yeah. Who did I pick on Sunday, Paul? Yes, waiter, I'll have another margarita. Top shelf, top shelf.
Okay. Ave writes in.
Do you have caviar?
Ave Bergoda?
Ave?
Yeah. Ave writes in.
Ave.
Now how do you spell Ave?
A-V-E.
I'm going to go Ave.
Ave.
Tuna Ave?
He says Ave rhymes with Dave.
Okay. I'm still going to go right. Ave.
He can, playing the
that's
role
not how
of
it's said.
Calvino.
He can say it how he wants. I'll say
good
it right.
Fred. That's exactly what I was looking for.
Now that the season is history and talk turns to roster moves, here's a hypothetical question.
Like him.
If a team offered a first rounder and their own quarterback, is there a quarterback out there that might tempt you to go for it?
Peyton Manning.
That means trade Brady.
Yes, Peyton Manning.
Manning.
If I can get a one and get Manning, sure.
Yep. So
That's it. That's the list.
Okay. Is it? Would you trade a quarterback? Would you draft a quarterback in the early first round in 11?
I don't know who's going to be available and
the
how good they're going to be
coming out this year. Bradford.
All right. For the interest of this exercise, Eric, can we assume that there is a quarterback worthy of taking in the top 5 picks? Would you draft him?
Have I signed Brady to an extension?
Yes.
6-year extension worth $100 million?
Okay.
No.
How about a 6-year deal worth $60 million, which is probably what he's going to get?
I don't think he'll be getting that.
Probably what he's going to get offered anyway.
And that may be true. It won't be what he'll be accepting.
I'll say yes, Paul. Either way.
2011?
I'll say yes. Because as we know, they don't always
fulfill
these contracts.
What is he, 32?
Sure.
Yeah.
Right now?
Yeah.
He's got 9 years left.
Yep.
I don't think he's got 9 years left.
Wasn't it 10 in coming
32,
into this year?
32, that's 30. So he'd be 34
in
as
11.
You're preparing for the 11 season?
Yeah.
Okay,
is that not worth talking about?
No, it is.
You said first round pick, right?
Put your GM. Well,
that Raiders pick. They have the top 10.
You're talking about that Raiders pick.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
All right, put your GM cap on.
Now you're doing Aaron Rodgers.
2011.
You're preparing for the future.
Yes, for whatever reason, you got that Raiders pick.
Mm-hmm.
It's the number one overall. You know you can get anyone you want in that draft.
Yeah.
And there is a quarterback you're in love with.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your conversation with Tom Brady? Do you have a conversation with Tom Brady before you make that pick?
No.
Or do you say, screw you, we're going to do it, you're a big boy, you're going to have to deal with the fact that we've drafted your heir apparent?
Yeah, I'd have the conversation.
I think
you would have a conversation. What would that go like?
I'll tell you what I would do.
After or before?
I would do whatever before. I've done. Have I had the conversation with everybody else?
What do you mean? Who's everybody?
I mean, is that what Bill does?
I don't know, but don't you think this is a little special?
No.
Yes, I do.
Tom Brady has told me all along that Bill's the greatest coach, and he does what he does, and he does what's in the best interest of the
football
team.
Yeah, but that's
so
in the public sphere.
So he needs to
sphere.
Swallow his own line.
I think you talk with him.
Let's reel it back in a little
If he doesn't
bit
talk to anybody
back to
else, he talks to... Tom Brady does his press conferences at his locker because he's one of the guys.
All right.
See, he doesn't do all of them there, though.
You're talking in Jim Calhoun-like lightning quick sentences again, and that's what you do
when
you get riled up.
Don't shake your bleeping head at me.
That's what you do when you get riled up. Now, let's get back to reality.
Took a Mecca Okafor.
You don't think that there's a difference between a franchise quarterback and everybody else?
No.
Especially one who's achieved
what
he doesn't do all his press conferences there, Andy.
Yeah.
He does have them in the
everybody.
I don't see James Sanders going to the podium on Wednesday.
So you won't play. You won't play for the sake of the show. You won't play.
What
along.
Do you want me to do,
Fred?
I said no. I'm doing whatever I've done before.
But you've never
I've never been in this situation before.
You've
Fred,
never,
but I'm
you've
treating
never had
it
a three
similarly.
Time, but you've never had a three-time Super
I know.
Bowl champ.
Look, not
point,
all hypotheticals are going to be the same.
Is,
but did they call Corey Dillon when they drafted Lawrence Maroney?
Possibly.
That's my point. If he did, then I want him to do what he does.
It's apples and
if
oranges.
If he doesn't,
though.
Then
it
I
is
don't.
But I agree
oranges.
With Fred. It's not the same.
It's apples and oranges.
At some point, you have to look at the day that Tom Brady's not going to be here anymore, and you can't wait for that year. You have to prepare for that.
Right.
So
I think maybe you broach it in general before the draft and say, look, there might be somebody, you know, we're thinking for the future. We're not trying to replace you this year. We're thinking about it. And if it happens,
fragile,
you know,
screw him.
And then when you make the pick, maybe you call him again, too, and just to reinforce what you said earlier.
Oh, and you give the guy a football, you pat him on the bum and say, I still like you, Tom, and then you caress his inner thigh.
Andy.
It's a business. He's a professional. He's always said it for everybody else. Well, it'll be his turn to be a professional, and it's a business.
Andy, I don't care what he says when I talk to him. I don't care if he expresses discontent.
Yeah,
I'm just having the conversation with him before
him
I
talk
talk
you out.
Yeah,
we're not asking for his advice.
We're just telling him what's going
to
happen.
He'll know they drafted a quarterback when he sees the front page of the Globe that says Patriots take quarterback.
But I'm going to talk to him first and let him know this is what I'm doing. You're not going to be around forever. You're going to be 34.
No, why don't we tell him every year who we're drafting first?
Because he hasn't always been close to the end of the road.
I know.
He's just being an asshole. Now he's grinning that stupid grin.
Whoa!
You can't say that!
I thought we could say that.
What is this show evolving into?
What?
Listen, not the last part of it.
I wouldn't say the whole, but you can't say the whole.
It's just being a hole in which I emit bad stuff.
You had a baby the other day after the show.
I went an hour and 45 minutes.
He said after the show the other day, he, quote, had a baby in the bathroom.
Yeah, he goes, just like a baby.
No, I said I had a baby out of my ass is what I said.
What part of your ass? Oh, stop.
Anyway, I just thought it was interesting. We have that high pick probably if the Raiders stink, like we think they probably will.
I would not do that.
You would not?
I would
see,
go
to me,
the, it depends on who the guy
Matt
Schaub is.
Route, or I'd try to find a second-round pick.
So you don't agree with drafting a quarterback that high, or because you have Brady?
Because I have Brady for long enough. I just
I'm not sure he's going to
say what if you had Peyton Manning? What if you had the... If you knew that you were getting the next Peyton Manning
that's impossible.
Or you'd be getting the next Ryan
Leaf.
You said, oh, I might wait for the second round. Well, what if there's a Peyton Manning who's available as the top guy?
But it's impossible to know the Peyton Manning. That's an impossible hypothetical.
Peyton
Manning wasn't Peyton Manning in that draft.
Paul.
There was plenty of people that didn't think
Paul,
he was the
My point was, he just
one.
Said you might look in the second round. There was nobody thinking Peyton Manning was going to go in the second round.
No,
I'm using my first round pick to fill in around Brady.
But
or Drew Brees.
We're saying whoever. It is. It's the guy that you believe will be your future quarterback.
Yeah, and if you have a choice between a guy who's going to be a one or a two or a second round pick, you take the one or the two.
What's your future? What do you mean? What's your
overall?
Future?
I'm saying.
Yeah. I need to know the plan here.
Well, that's it. You say, look,
Brady is in his first year of a 6-year extension, right?
I don't know. Yeah, but I don't know what the contract is.
So you sign a rookie, and he signs a 5 or 6 year deal.
I'm the only one that's not
deal.
Convinced he's going to get re-signed.
I need to know the overlapping. When do you think he's done?
Forget about the 6 year deal. Let's just assume that, you know, the contract has nothing to do with it. You didn't just re-sign him for a long, long term, because if you sign him for 6 years, you're probably not thinking quarterback.
That's my point. But you're also not assuming that he's going to play out the 6 years.
Right. I need to know when I think Brady's done.
You might sign a guy to a 9 year contract. He's not going to play the whole 9 years, most likely.
Probably not, but you're not. Yeah.
So,
but 6 years is in the realm of possibility.
Maybe.
That puts him at about
38, 39.
It
might be stretching
39.
Him at the end, yeah. But I need to know when.
Maybe.
Where I think he's done.
All right.
Because I think that's a valuable investment.
I say no matter when you do it.
I think you tell him.
You talk to this.
You talk
this guy's
to him a little
special.
Bit. Not to ask his permission, but just to tell him what your plans are.
This guy's going to have posters and stuff in your Hall of Fame
exactly.
forever.
But the more important thing to me
you're
isn't
right,
the conversation.
Bledsoe's a different story.
It's whether or not
I
you
wouldn't
would
tell him because then I think maybe he'd have a fire lit underneath him. He might come back to the off-season program again.
To me, it's more important. It, to me, it's more important whether or not you
Give
do
it. To
it
me, Eric.
Whether or not
you,
I don't care if you talk to him.
Don't take
I think
that.
You would. Yeah. I'm with you, Fred. I think you would have a conversation.
I think he's the one.
But
guy
the question I'm asking is, do you?
That was funny.
You know, do you worry about it? I mean, do you wonder if they're going to actually do that? At some point, they need to get a replacement.
They have to.
Brian Hoyer is not the heir apparent.
Right.
Do we all agree on that?
That's right.
Hell yeah.
Okay? So at some point, you need an heir apparent.
Right.
When do you decide? When he's 34, 35,
when it's
apparent,
I think you decide the guy that's going out is
I don't want to. I don't want to have to go through.
I've been reading the emails this week. I don't know if you have.
You know, I don't want to have to go through.
Now the fans know what they're talking about?
No.
You know, what they did before they got Bledsoe. That stretch before Bledsoe. I don't want to have to go through that
No.
again.
I think you.
I want the guy.
I think you make the
it's
move.
It's a good point. It's been a long time since you wondered. I mean, whether or not you thought Bledsoe was good, you went from 93 to 2001, and then from 2001 to 2010
right.
at least.
That's what I want.
That's
to
a
get.
Long time.
I don't
not have to wonder who
I don't
your quarterback
want Scott
is.
Zolak. Zolak.
I think,
all those guys.
I think Millen.
If part of that
Millen,
was because you drafted the guy that was the replacement, and he wasn't the replacement.
As soon as
Tony
you,
Eason wasn't
as soon
that
as
good.
You find the guy,
quarterback, right?
As soon as you drafted to replace Grogan,
Tony Eason was all right.
He was okay. Was he your franchise quarterback? No.
No, but he was the quarterback from 84 to
89. That's not a franchise quarterback.
It was when you went Tommy Hodson, Hugh Millen. But that's what I'm saying. When did you draft the guy?
You drafted
the guy. That's what I'm asking.
You drafted
when?
That guy, and it effed it all up. You didn't get it right. That's
you take the guy when you think you've identified him and when he's available to you.
But
if that happens to be in 2011 with the top five pick, you take him
but
then.
But it also has to coincide with when you have that resource. If Brady's here, I doubt they're going to be drafting in the top five very often.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. That's why 2011 is the time I'm asking about. We have the resource due to a trade.
Maybe.
We don't,
well,
it depends
we don't on
have
how the Raiders.
Well, if Al Davis loads up in an uncapped year and wins 17 games.
He wins 6 instead of 5? I mean, what's he going to do?
Come on, Paul. You know with a quarterback they would have been as competitive
is
as any team in the
Is Tom Cable still
going to
be the coach?
I don't know. Still going to wear that leather coat?
No.
The last I heard, Al Davis still hasn't had that conversation with Tom Cable. They keep canceling the meeting.
You know, surrounding Brady, there are a couple big issues. It's, how much do you resign him for, and how long do you resign him for? Because you have to start thinking about the future.
6 years, $100 million. 7 years, $100 million. Whatever the $100 million mark is.
Yeah. I wouldn't
not concerned about how long they sign him for, because you could end that relationship at any time.
Well, it all depends on how much you guarantee.
Right, and what these new rules and this new CBA end up
I'm
being.
I'm not worried about those. I really think the new CBA rules are going to look a lot like the old ones.
So why have one?
No, because they're going to change the pie, the amount of the pie and everything,
but mean,
the salary cap rules and everything are going to be very similar. You're going to have $120 million to spend, and you're going to not be able to...
Fred looks like he's at a bar. He just reached for his Coke. Why have one?
I've actually been putting some Jim Beam in there. While
I explained
all right, it's 151.
Started 6 years ago,
so,
did you?
We have to do picks.
We have to start doing picks.
So you're going to take a break?
Who's playing? No, we're not.
Why?
Do we want to take a break? No, let's just go into it. We got 9 minutes left.
All right, well, Fred, you went 2-2 last week. The three of us went 1-3. You also went 2-2 in the spread. I went 2-2 with the spread. Andy and Eric went 1-3.
Okay.
And what did I win?
You won the Patriots game.
And a meal in August.
I am the only one who had the Arizona game correct.
Just how you drew that one up, too, huh? Just like
went
I drew
against
the Patriots.
I saw a defensive score coming to win that game.
Yeah, in overtime.
Right.
After almost allowing a bomb to lose in overtime.
Isn't that funny,
and
though?
And after they ignored a face mask penalty.
After all that offense.
No, Pereira said that was the right call.
Are you kidding me?
I'm pretty sure he did.
Oh,
I saw
really?
The headline. I didn't
how?
Read it. I don't know. It's available.
Like I said to you, I can understand why the referee wouldn't have seen it because he's watching the ball. He's got to make sure he determines whether or not it's a fumble or an incomplete pass. So he's the guy watching the ball. I can understand him not seeing, because it happened after the guy fumbled.
Right.
But it was clearly a face mask.
I'm pretty sure I'll find it for you.
And I won the spread of the Patriots game. That's why I went 2-2 with the spread, because I had the Patriots, but I had Baltimore to cover.
Okay.
Fred went undefeated on Saturday.
On Saturday.
Fred picked both Saturday games properly with the Jets and the Cowboys.
And it was two. I think they were good picks by me, because I was rooting against my picks. I wanted the Jets and the Cowboys to lose, but I knew enough to pick with them.
Wow, Pat Kerwin.
So I'm going to pat myself on the back there. Okay.
What?
All right. So what do we got this week, Paul?
All right. First game, 4:30 on Saturday. Should be a high-scoring affair indoors. Arizona is at New Orleans, where the Saints, struggling, losing 3 in a row, are favored by 7.
Mm.
Andy Hart.
Andy.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was just
enough with
something.
The Pro Bowl.
No, this is what Paul said wouldn't change.
I couldn't care less about this.
What didn't I change?
Struggling.
I don't know what he's talking
Liz Mullen of Sports Business Journal reports that the league has proposed the implementation of a rookie wage scale for the April 2010 draft.
Wow.
How can they do that?
I don't know.
I
was trying to read it.
Isn't that part of the CBA?
But that's contradictory to the statement they put out earlier this season. The NFL put out.
The lead? Yeah, well.
That's the only reason why I said that.
The NFL put it out, or Chris Mortensen put it out for the NFL?
But he quoted Goodell in that.
But that would have to be agreed upon.
Well, that can't be
unilateral.
I'm go back
exactly.
on that.
Right.
I think he said he talked to Goodell. I don't know if he quoted Goodell on that. I'm going to go back on that.
She also reports that the NFLPA has responded with a proposal that would change the structure of the rookie deals beginning in 2010, too. The league's proposal, per Mullen, would pay players a fixed amount based on draft slot, with a significant portion of the savings being distributed to retired players.
I like it.
Isn't that kind of what they do now? They're fixed them by slots. They're just going to lower them, is what you're
apparently.
Saying.
Apparently.
No, but there is wiggle room as far as, you know, guys holding out and stuff. If you could do away with that, that would be great.
The NFLPA responded Tuesday with a proposed three-year limit on rookie contracts.
There's the concession that the players get.
Along with a two-year.
Yes.
That's what they get for it.
We're analyzing as we go here.
Can you analyze when I finish?
No, because you give us
along
a
with a
absorb.
Two-year extension to the current labor deal and a commitment by the owners to match the payment to the retired players arising from the contribution flowing from the savings in rookie pay. Retired players.
Wait. Two-year extension to the current labor deal?
Yes. Sounds like they're trying to hammer out a last-ditch effort to have
to avoid the uncapped year, which I think would be a major, major coup.
That would be shocking.
Wow. And it would be so good.
It would be good.
Because this uncapped year is a mess already.
Wow.
It's safe to assume that the league won't agree to an extension of the labor contract merely in order to cap rookie pay. The owners are poised and motivated to attempt to make major changes to the system for paying players, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah.
When breaking news happens, PFW in Progress is here to report.
Liz Mullen
What other people have reported.
I don't know who Liz Mullen is.
Well, I'm reading Pro Football Talk reporting on Liz Mullen reporting.
That's what I said. When other people report it, we're here to tell you.
So this happened yesterday. I'm only kidding.
Maybe.
All right, so
Andy, let's do the picks.
You get all your news from Pro Football Talk. You shouldn't be ripping.
We're not ripping.
No, him, not you. Him. Bupa head over there.
New Orleans, Arizona, Saints by 7.
New Orleans hosting Arizona, Saints by 7. They win and cover, Paul. Your boy throws a couple interceptions to Darren Sharper. Your boy, you know who your
Kurt
boy
Warner?
Is. Yeah,
he's not my boy.
Because
I think he's a Hall of Famer.
God wants to test him in strange ways as he goes into retirement, and that'll include a blowout loss.
What'd you say? You said something to me?
I didn't say what, Santa?
Blowout loss.
I said just because they're the same age. Roughly.
He's younger than me.
Who's younger than you?
Warner.
Yeah, but your wife is better looking.
Oh, that's true. My wife's a lot better.
But God doesn't like you as much.
Well, that remains to be seen, but it's probably accurate.
All right, I'll take the Saints to win and cover.
I will take the Saints to win. However, I will take the Cardinals to cover.
I am taking the Cardinals to win. They thoroughly impressed me. Their defense aside,
okay.
I think that.
So they didn't thoroughly impress
you. Take much to impress Fred.
I don't think Warner ever looked better in that game.
Yeah, last time in the playoffs, he looked better.
Yeah, he just looked phenomenal.
It's the best playoff quarterback.
Arizona's
of all
one of those
time.
Teams that just isn't getting the respect this
year. Look at the numbers.
Yeah.
Here's the three highest Super Bowl ratings ever.
Yeah.
ever.
Yeah, he's incredible.
You take him over Brady in the playoffs?
He's the best pro playoff quarterback of all time.
Would you take him over Brady in a playoff game?
Yes.
Wow.
6 days a week and twice
would
on
you?
Sunday.
What, take him over Brady?
I wouldn't take Kurt Warner anywhere.
He
would
hates
you?
Kurt Warner.
No.
He thinks it's all a fraud.
I think he's a roller coaster.
All 12 of his dominant performances.
When he gets into the playoffs,
he throws a touchdown on the goal line that leads to the other team winning.
Ooh. He didn't throw three of them.
Brady threw one into the end zone, too, against Carolina.
Didn't throw
Fred,
three of them.
I take my arguments one step at a time.
Anyway. Yeah.
Can I get back to where I went to this for? Mike Pereira said, no flag should have been thrown. Quote, there was no tugging or pulling.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
What are you pointing at me for?
And keep
I'm
the
married.
Pulling.
I don't have to tug or pull.
Keep the pulling
Eric's
and
the tugger and pull.
Anyway, moving right along.
No, that's true. Right?
So I got Arizona.
True.
I got Arizona.
You don't have a wife. You don't have a girlfriend.
All right.
For God's sakes.
God almighty.
Can anything be left off the air for you?
Did you,
really are.
Did you just hit a 5-minute fuel over there? Whatever
yeah,
those things are.
You have one of those energy drinks?
I think those cookies kicked in.
Yeah.
Baltimore is at Indianapolis, Andy.
Indy.
The Colts are home. Favored by 6.5, a scant 6.5.
They'll win
That's
by much
crazy.
More than that they because, will. Save for the game here, I don't think you can win with a quarterback with a broken hip.
Right.
Or, he can't get out of his own way. He can't win against the Indianapolis Colts. You got to score some points.
I hate to say it. I don't see how Baltimore wins this game. I wish they could because I don't want to see the Colts go to the Super Bowl, but I have to take Indy.
Yeah.
I will take Indy as well, both sides. 6.5, one touchdown victory.
6.5?
Six and a hay. I'll take the hay.
Yeah, immediately after the game, I said I was going to root for the Colts in that game.
Yeah,
but
you
I was just
were
bitter.
Talking crazy.
I was just bitter. I'm rooting for the Ravens, but the Colts going to win this game.
You've been on and off the Colts more times in the last month.
Yeah, I really want them to lose those.
Well, this is where you got to get them. This is where they choke in the first playoff game.
Right.
We'll move right along because Fred's panicking. Dallas is at Minnesota for the early game on Sunday. Vikings by 3.
Looking forward to that game.
They're all going to be good
guess
games.
Guess why?
I'm looking forward to all these games this weekend.
I'm just looking forward to be able to watch them
I think,
as a fan.
I just want to compete.
Just want to see if we get the center quarterback right.
I think Dallas wins the game. You know, I'm scared to
good
death
Andy.
Of picking Dallas, but you know what? I'm scared to death of picking Brett Favre in the postseason.
Right.
He's just as equally likely to blow it. So I will take
Brett
the Cowboys.
They're
playing pretty good football.
Cowboys are playing good football at the right time, and this is exactly what I've been predicting all year. Brett Favre will cost his team the playoffs
good.
In this game.
Good.
He will be the reason that they lose. He won't. They'll lose because
but he could,
of Brett
he could
Favre.
Just as
not
equally.
So fast, my friend. Dallas is playing very well. However, Minnesota got it back together last week. They got their offense together the week before that in the second half of Chicago. They're at home. They've been resting. Dallas a little banged up. Even though they are playing well, I'll take the Vikings.
This is one of those games I can't lose. I hate the Cowboys, and I hate Brett Favre, so either one loses, I'm happy. But I am going to go with the Cowboys. I think their defense does enough to just stop, and I just don't think Minnesota's lines are playing like they were when they were so dominant early in the season.
The last game, the afternoon game that we were never really close to being a part of, really, in retrospect.
For 16 seconds, we were in the conversation.
New York Jets at San Diego.
Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
Chargers by 7.
Paul, you know I have some fears about the San Diego Chargers, and I don't know why. They're playing good football.
I
look at Philip
Rivers'
history.
Numbers. I know why.
But Philip Rivers is ridiculous. I find it hard to fall on your face in the postseason unless your quarterback is part of it, and he doesn't fall on his face hardly ever, Philip Rivers, ever. So I have trouble heart, but I think the Jets. I'm going to take the San Diego Chargers
sorry,
to win
just
at home.
Like Chris Berman right there. That's unbelievable. Chargers?
Chargers at home, win and cover, but there's a slight fear in me that they don't.
Really?
I have no fear.
Neither do I.
Jets, Chargers are going to win big.
Yeah. How can you go up against a team that runs the football and is the best defense in football?
F and the Jets.
Oh, well, if you're going to use that logic, then I see why.
I am going to take the Chargers again because of the rest factor, but I totally understand where Andy's coming from. Not so much from the choking perspective, but if you drew up a team that could give San Diego trouble, this is it. They have a cornerback that can take Vincent Jackson out of the game. They have a defense overall that's not going to be fearful of any running game because San Diego can't run. So now you're asking Philip Rivers to beat you with Malcolm Floyd and Antonio Gates while avoiding the rush behind a suspect offensive line that's missing two starters. So I understand where Andy's coming from there. Yeah. However, I just think that, you know, all the way across the country with a bye.
Right.
This is San Diego's time. They're going to win the game and set up a great, I think, AFC championship.
I respect the Jets' D. I have since that week 2. They really, and they've been consistent. They're you know, what if not the best, one of the best defenses in the league, bar none, this year. Revis is great, okay? But San Diego's not going to let this opportunity slip through their hands. They're going
to
win
good.
This game.
I should also add, you know, in furthering Andy's fear, is that San Diego struggles to stop the run, and that's the way the Jets are going to try to win
right.
the game.
But you need some quarterback play, too.
I do think that they stack the line well enough to stop the run and make Sanchez beat them, and I don't think he can. And they have a pretty good corner in Quinton Jammer, who had a nice year
and
for
And the Jets playmaking receiver, as Fred said, isn't all that playmaking.
His alligator arms.
Well, not just that. Sometimes they're actually extended. It's in the breadbasket, and it just goes through the breadbasket.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Have a good playoff weekend this weekend, and we will see you next Tuesday.